And now we're recording.
Turn my mic on.
All right. Now that the mics are on, now we're all quiet.
All right. You want to do the intro?
Sure. Whenever you're ready.
It's your what?
No, it's Matt. Do the intro.
All right.
Tony's aggravated. Lowlife Louis Ramos is in studio. Season 8 of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast starts now.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rant-EM Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here and listen to the Shining Wizards, because everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
I have a small dick.
God damn it! Woo!
Well, you're not going to get anything better than the last 15 minutes.
Even though it didn't air.
Because it took Tony forever to set up the equipment. And he's going to have to leave in the middle of the show to fold his laundry. It's not like we have a standing reservation every Tuesday night, 7 and 9. What'd you do all day?
I went to work.
I thought you were off.
Did you bring me a pizza?
No.
Well, what the fuck did you do all day? Your entire mission should have been get here, bring me a pizza, and bring Louis his Four Loko.
I brought Louis his Four Loko.
And you failed on the other part.
I don't...
Welcome to Season 8!
We had this conversation last week. Wizards.
Wrestling talk?
Talk about wrestling!
Tony!
The pizza...
Kevin!
...is not...
Low Life Louis Ramos.
Hey, yeah.
Wow!
Hey.
No selling Matt.
That's right, fuck him. He's a man on an island. A fucking pizzaless island, as far as I'm concerned. Louis, welcome back. How's retirement treating you?
What? I think I've retired and came back twice.
Yes, on the show.
Something like that, yes.
Well, you still have a couple more before you reach Terry Funk level.
Yeah, a few more, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, but you still have your knees, so you're good.
You ever bleed out your ears?
Out my ears, out my penis, out everywhere. Bro.
There it is. It only took 4 seconds.
You bled out your penis?
Yeah, I got kicked in the back by Mace Mendoza once, hurt the kidney, and was peeing blood
the
next
day. So you pissed blood. You didn't, like, bleed out your penis.
No. I pissed blood.
All right.
You didn't have, like, a drip going. That'd be kind of weird.
Oof.
Like, Louis on his period.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's gross.
Well, one in Rome.
We were doing so well at trying to change our image, but you knew this was happening.
Well, you booked Louis, so what do you think we're going to do?
This has been a long time
coming.
Where's that special button I miss so dearly?
Oh, we got rid of all those special buttons.
Well,
Louis.
We don't use them anymore, but some of them are still here. No.
Don't
antagonize. We're going mainstream.
No,
we're trying.
Yeah.
Some of them are in my phone, all right?
Oh, boy.
Hi-yo.
Yowza. And then, no, we're speechless.
That's it. I got nothing. We're done. All right.
We were just making jokes before. No, Tony literally just got up, and now he's going to fold his fucking laundry.
You know what? I'll take a second to say this. I give that man much respect, as I do that all the time. I am a man that, no shame in my game. I'll do laundry. I'll cook. I'll clean. Whatever needs to be done. Especially a big shout out to my wife. The last month and a half, she works for the Board of Elections. So from early October to almost Thanksgiving, it's a nightmare for me. I'm doing everything with the kids and everything around the house and, you know, holding it down. So Tony folding laundry, I give credit to that, man. I respect that.
And I'm with you. I'm all about, you got to do the laundry. I was supportive with him on that. I got to take the laundry out of the dryer.
Yeah, I think Louis's missing it.
The point is... we said, all right, that's fine. That'll take a minute. And he's like, no, I got to go upstairs and I got to fold it.
clothes, you idiots.
I got to fold the laundry right now. Like, that can't wait?
I agree with that. That, well, I agree with.
And the thing is, it's like clockwork. We're here every Tuesday.
Yeah, this wasn't a surprise to him.
No, between 7 and 9.
Atta
boy.
You
got to get your laundry done, Tony.
That's it.
I do the laundry.
I do the laundry.
The apartment. I do it all before anyone gets there when we do the show at Studio B.
Yep. You do.
He's just going to get so aggravated. He's going to come back.
We're
so
totally shitting
he's gonna
on him.
He's going to do that thing where he sits like Indian style.
And he's going to hold the mic. He's going to hold the mic up. Not going to talk. Just going to breathe through it like a fucking newbie.
So, Louis, last time we talked to you may have been when you retired.
God, yeah.
I'm sure we've talked to you in passing. But you clearly have unretired.
Yeah, well, I was here 4 years ago already, believe it or not.
Wow.
And I was, you know, doing a few things then. And then I retired on your show on February 2015, I retired. Brain injuries. Doctor told me not to get hit again. And then what happened was Colin West from CTW Charity Wrestling ran a show in South Amboy on August 1st, 2015. South Amboy being my adoptive hometown where my kids grow up. It was for the raising money for the program where they play sports. So I asked Colin to make me part of the show. I wrestled a match. A month after that, I was supposed to referee a match at the first ever Nick Gage Invitational Deathmatch Tournament. Obviously, Nick couldn't make it. I had to step in, and I wrestled the late, great Nate Hatred in the first round. Yeah. Got my ass beat, destroyed, and bloodied up real bad. But I said to myself, shit, I feel like I have a few more left. And I wrestled that whole year and a half. I won Survival of the Sickest 1 for On Point Wrestling. I wrestled Brian Myers. I wrestled Matt Tremont again.
Who? Who'd you wrestle?
Brian Myers, Kurt Hawkins, whatever you call him nowadays.
Jesus! Yeah, I'm not familiar with his work.
What do you think he said, Eddie?
Great guy.
What does he do?
A great guy.
Oh, Brian. Okay, all right.
And then I wrestled Matt Tremont at the GCW Date with Destiny. What a bloody ass match! And then I wrestled Masada. And I punctured my lung, broke 4 ribs. 36 hours after the match, I collapsed. Luckily, I was in the hospital already with my wife. And they took me in for major surgery. I was in ICU. I retired again. And then Mr. Danny Havoc asked me to participate in his deathmatch gauntlet for his retirement. I couldn't turn down Danny Havoc, such a great guy. And just deathmatch royalty. And after that, I said, hey, I got one more match left. It was to as a benefit at a Matt Tremont benefit show after he got injured. And I've been at it ever since.
That's right.
That's a beautiful thing. You look great. You look like $1 million.
I've lost 45 pounds. Woo! I started boxing. Thank you, guys. Started boxing training again. I mean, the holidays and the Four Locos, you know, like I told you, with the wife working, I just been pounding them down while I take care of the kids. They've added a few extra pounds, but once the holidays are over, I'm going to go back under 240, which is what I was a few months ago.
Yeah, 45 pounds ain't nothing to sneeze at.
No. No, I'm hoping one day to weigh 45 pounds.
Shit, I'm looking. So. I need to lose fucking 45 pounds.
A little more than that.
Hey, how's the fucking laundry there?
Listen, if you must know.
Hey, fluff and fold. How you doing over there?
Really? How'd it go, Charlie? You fold everything nice and neat?
Yes. I put starch and everything.
Oh, good. Oh.
Good. What? He called me Charlie.
I called you a nip, too.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
I can't. I'm married to...
So that gives you carte blanche, huh?
Not carte blanche, but I could get away with it. She was...
I couldn't get away with it at your bachelor party.
You were a bit relentless.
I wasn't relentless. I told people not to push me, and I would go too far.
And somebody was may have been under the influence of some pills of some sort.
Yeah, well.
Oh.
My wife was talking to a table the other night. My wife doesn't tell people we're married.
Right? I wouldn't either.
That should be a sign.
So when I'm at the restaurant, like, she'll be like, talk to her regulars, and then she'll be like, oh, and my husband. They'll be like, who's your husband?
That gross tub of shit over there.
But everybody knows me from, like,
it's me.
From doing the pizza truck and
Hi.
Shit.
It's Matthew.
Matthew.
I'm Pizza Matt.
Correct. Ding.
Want me to make you a pie? You don't idiot. You dare put pineapple on that pie.
I gotta agree though. I hate pineapple on my pizza. I
correct.
Do. I do.
Ding.
No. No.
Pineapple I'm an all meat guy. Pizza. If the only two vegetables I like on my pizza are peppers and onions.
That's it.
Other than
that's
that,
it.
All meat.
You're fucking
and I love all types of meat, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
we do.
All right. I'm gonna skip the conversation about
okay.
the restaurant where I made my wife was. Long story short, the customers, they were making like dad jokes, and then I went over and was like, yeah, it's great. I don't, the cat loves me, and I think he's finally realized she's not going to eat him. And the table was like, and then later,
boo?
And then later, Rihanna was like, yeah, I don't think they really roll with the racist jokes.
Well,
and I was like, yeah, you strike out once in a while.
Listen. You miss every shot. You don't. What is it? You miss 100%
of the 100% shots you don't take.
You don't take. You have to take a shot.
What's with the meat love there, Louis? Let's. Can we?
All right.
I'm bisexual. I love it both ways, bro.
All right. I mean, I was just curious. That's all.
Well, if you're curious, Louis's the guy to talk to.
I'm not bi-curious. It's an exit only.
Oh, you. There it is.
There you go. You just can't. You one is enough, and then
fucking
you just
right in the pussy.
Listen, we gotta be thankful. He hasn't done this in a while.
I know, but now he's like.
I think I'm a bad influence.
Louis that, here,
you
like
100% are. He's a like, bad influence.
Are
look,
what
he's
is
still,
he a pirate?
He's still, he
100% are.
Roll the mouse over the same sound like four times, and he's just people are so scared. Like it doesn't even make people. Sense to the conversation.
Well, let's go ahead.
That's still one of my favorites.
Are you
Shelly
done?
Martinez, oh, yeah, my badge hurt.
I'm done. Are you done?
Kinda.
All right.
Kinda.
Love it.
Nope,
love
he's
it.
Going. He's still.
We tried still. So hard to clean ourselves up, and then in one show.
There we go.
And
bring
one
me
show.
Back, and that's it. It's over.
We bring Louis back, and we're we should have put an extra disclaimer.
Oh, I found Louis sounds.
Yeah. All right. Nope. Don't.
Don't.
Just don't.
Please don't.
All right, fine. Thank you.
I'm
please.
Done.
For now.
Excuse me. I got more laundry to fold. I'll be back.
Please.
What? Here's the problem. I, you know, look at the surname that I use as a professional wrestler, Lowlife.
Yeah,
that
well,
says it all right
that's
there.
A good point.
Did you ever think about changing your gimmick and being like
High Life?
Yes.
Never.
Miller?
Never. I'll take a Miller.
Miller High Life?
No.
You'd be like the champagne of wrestling.
Dude.
I just made a great, that's a great gimmick. High Life Louis Ramos?
Oh, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
The champagne of wrestling? Are you... That's fucking gold.
Well, how about
fuck
the highlight?
Are
you
talking
and you start
about?
Really?
Listen, I'm not going to answer myself.
No, mine were
stupid fucking question, Kevin.
He didn't ask a question. This is very loose.
Yeah,
highlight so my asshole.
Of course it is.
All right, hold on.
Highlight
is broken.
Oh, I love highlight Louis Ramos. Broken. You just complete. Oh my god, he could be like the York Foundation Louis. Like, he just turns into somebody different and wears a suit, and he was the champagne of wrestling.
I don't feel like he would want to do that.
Yeah, but then he still gets nuts, though. So he'd be like he'll be like corporate Mick Foley.
He'll
be like corporate Mick Foley. Or see, it doesn't work when you're not on
sorry,
the microphone.
Sorry, that's broken.
Matt out again for like the fifth week in
well,
a row.
Well, you know, why don't we get the stand, the mic stands, man? Why do I have to hold this?
For, why do you, who said you have to hold it?
Because I don't want to.
Do you want a mic stand?
Be like,
do you really want a mic stand?
Not
hey, Louis,
now.
We've been doing this show for over 7 years. I don't know if you knew that, Louis. 7 years. You've been here for 7 years.
I can't find it. Oh,
I hate this place.
All right, fuck you.
Nothing works here.
All right, yes, exactly. Good.
I'm just saying, man.
I like turtles.
I do like turtles. I'm just saying, this like this hurts, and then I gotta hold this.
You know what's funny though, Louis?
And then you want me to look
Kevin's,
shit up?
Kevin's
play
absolutely
sounds?
Right. He's been sitting. How long have you been sitting in that chair? At least a year now, right?
That chair, or me?
Well, that chair, you.
Yeah, I guess
so. You wait this long now to complain about the microphone situation?
I'm just saying. I'm not complaining. I'm just making a suggestion.
Did it sound like a complaint to you, Louis?
Just a suggestion.
You know, I think it's time. I think it's time the Matt gets bean boozled. What do you think?
Oh, God.
You really want to bean boozle me this early?
Let's all right, let's bean boozle. All
so, right. Do I spin this?
Yeah. Do you want to spin it?
Yeah. All right. We're gonna.
Do people know what this is? It's been around forever.
All right. It's the Jelly Belly Bean Boozle. There's jelly beans that are certain colors, and they could be one of two flavors. One is a delicious flavor. One is not so delicious. Right. And there's a spinner on top.
Spin the wheel, make the deal.
Exactly.
That's it.
Spin. Wait, maybe you should bring the garbage can over
here. Is there a coal miner flavor?
I'm not going to throw up.
Coal miner's glove.
There's a coal miner glove.
God, the tin even stinks.
All right, I'm going to spin the boozle thing.
Why'd you take some out?
All right, what do you got for me?
It's either buttered popcorn or rotten eggs.
All right,
we have a delay.
Here we
go. What the fuck happened.
But wait, how did you know which ones they're in? You took the bags out.
You don't, because the bags don't have all of them in them. You have to find one. Ah, here we go.
Boy.
So you have to do research?
Yes.
Help me.
All right.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to get out of here. Because I'm going to throw up if he throws up.
Here you go. It's either buttered popcorn or rotten egg. Matt's eating the jelly bean.
That's gross.
Come on, I'll take one too.
All right, should I spin it for you, or you want me to take one? All right, here I'm gonna give Louis.
That's fucking gross.
This is either chocolate pudding or canned dog food.
Oh,
as a dog owner, I don't mind dog food.
Well.
Oh my god.
We're 2 for 2, huh?
Louis dying.
This tastes like liver.
Oh, that rotten egg was gross.
Kevin, you're up.
Thank God for Four Loko.
You got a better chance of seeing Satan walk through that back door.
Now come on, Kev. If I'm doing one, you're doing one.
I'm not doing one.
Oh.
No, Kevin doesn't want to have any fun.
I almost threw up watching you guys eat those.
Right, I got birthday cake or dirty dishwater.
Oh, dirty dishwasher sounds
That's
much
not
better
so bad.
Than rotten eggs.
Oh, here we go.
The dog food is...
I can't get that
taste
out of
my... Oh, no. It tastes like soap. It tastes like Dove. I swear to God, it's so bad.
The worst thing is that the bits of the jelly bean are stuck in my cavities.
Yeah, that taste ain't going anywhere.
Ugh.
All right. It's at least another hour before we bean boozle again.
Now, yeah, we'll go back to that. When there's a lull in the action, we'll bean boozle it again.
So you're back now, Louis. You're back in the game. You're having all sorts of crazy matches. H2O, GCW. I know On Point's coming back with their Masters of the Mat. What's left for you? Like,
what's the game plan?
Are you like Tremont wanted Onita, and then they brought him to CZW, and I know they're bringing Onita back for a game changer.
Cage of Death.
Oh,
then,
yeah, and game
and then
changer,
GCW's
right?
bringing him in for Joey Janela's Spring Break, WrestleMania weekend. Hey, you guys have always been great to me. You guys have always given me the platform to express myself and
You're
speak to the world.
Out, dude.
There's only one person. Well, there's two people, but there's one person I want real bad. Because we're the last two guys left from the generation that we belong to, and two guys that almost died in the ring doing this death match stuff, and that's Nick fucking Gage.
Oof.
So right here,
Ooh.
Right now,
Uh-oh.
I'd like to lay out the challenge. Anytime, anywhere, I want to fight Nick fucking Gage.
Oh!
And you know the ironic part of it all? Nick Gage is my son's favorite wrestler.
Ooh, that has a lot of implications.
I don't know if you saw, David Arquette took Nick Gage to the limit.
I don't know about that, Matt. I don't know about that.
Well, you did get quite fired up over that match and all the backlash that it was receiving. You want to lay it out for some people in case they don't know?
Yeah, here goes. Deathmatch wrestling is not for everybody.
Nope.
I think that David Arquette went in there thinking, oh, this isn't so bad. And the minute he saw himself bleeding, he panicked. And you can't blame a human being for panicking, because when you see a hole in your neck, you're going to panic, especially if you've never been in that situation. I, on the other hand, have bled pints of blood, have had to have my head glued back together from one end to the other from these type of matches. My arm, same thing. And shit, just like I mentioned before, I wrestled with a rib inside my lung for 17 fucking minutes.
Ooh.
So I'm used to it. I've deathmatch wrestling has been my life for 22 years. You know, it's totally different. I give David Arquette credit for getting in there. And, you know, again, like any other human being, he probably got scared. And I don't blame him. But again, he shouldn't have put himself in that situation. You should leave that to guys that enjoy that, love that, and do it because they love it. And I'm right here. And Nick Gage, I'm no David Arquette.
Ooh.
Do you think that it's... do you think there's any blame on anybody else but David Arquette for being in that situation? I mean...
No. You see, people will blame the promoter. People will blame the booker. This, that, and the next. The end of the day is David Arquette is not only a 46-year-old man. He is a very famous man. So he has a lot of say-so. I'm sure that if David Arquette said, hey, no, I don't want to go through with this. I want that guy, this type of match. It would have been given to him at the last minute because of the type of event that it was. It was being streamed live. You know, just a lot of factors. I'm sure that David Arquette was asked, hey, this is what goes into it. Would you like to? He accepted. In full sound body and mind, he accepted to get into it. He's a grown-ass man and a famous man. I'm sure if he didn't want to do it, he would have backed out. But again, the point is this. Once he got in there and he got bashed with the light tubes and he started bleeding real bad, he got scared.
But you can't blame him for that, though.
No, 100%. No. Let me tell you something. The first match that I got real bad color, Homicide cut me with a hacksaw, and I told him to do it. And I panicked like a bitch, and I wrapped my shirt around my head. This is going back. This is 1997. And I was scared because I was bleeding that much. Now that's like fucking a pimple for me.
Yeah, but even back then, like you were, like you said, of sound mind. You were, you know, a young man in the business, but you knew what you were getting into.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And even Arquette is going on record on Twitter and stuff saying himself that he doesn't blame Gage and he thinks Cornette is an asshole for putting him down. Which I agree with. I hate Jim Cornette.
You know, it's not so much that I hate Jim Cornette for what he says about the business because he's entitled to his opinions.
Of course.
But he's made everything about politics lately, and I just can't deal with him for that. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole politics discussion, but it's like I used to love listening to the Cornette Experience, the other show, the drive-through where he takes questions from people. But it's just like every other week. It's like, all right, dude, we get it. You hate Donald Trump. Nobody gives a fuck. Just move on.
I don't understand is a guy like Jim Cornette has been a household name to us wrestling folk for almost 30 years since he fell off the scaffold at Skywalker's and Starrcade with the Road Warriors.
Yeah, ever since I've been alive, Jim Cornette's been basically...
Exactly. Yeah. So what is there to be bitter about? You have made money in the business for 30 years. You ran your own territory. You worked for every big company that came down the pike. I would be the happiest man in the world if I had done that.
I think he's just trying to stay relevant.
I don't think there's any argument against that at all.
Yeah, but
I don't think so.
My question is, like what Louis just said, you're Jim Cornette. You shouldn't have to try this hard to stay relevant.
But you do, because people don't know who Jim Cornette is.
That is true.
The younger wrestling fans?
They think of Jim Cornette now as just a loudmouth that shits on everything that happens in wrestling.
Time passes you by if you're not careful, man. I know that firsthand.
And that's the sad part, because you listen to Jim Cornette speak. When he speaks on old school wrestling and ring psychology and storylines, he knows the business. There's probably very few guys that are smarter in the business than Jim Cornette.
Let me ask you this, though, because every now and then when one of the greatest managers of all time, Classy Freddie Blassie, was alive, they brought him back for stuff. Why couldn't they do that for Jim Cornette? And like Jim Cornette is, I'm not going to dare put him in the Classy Freddie Blassie realm, but he could be there.
I would put Jim Cornette over Freddie Blassie.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I would
fair
too,
enough.
Yes.
Most people
argue Heenan 1, Cornette 2. And if you talk, and like Cornette always said, if you talk to Bobby, he would put me number 1, and I always put him number 1.
So my point, I guess my question is, why does he need to try so hard to stay relevant when they've proven in the past they can bring these guys back and keep them in the public eye?
Because that's his gimmick, dude. That's the way he rolls.
And not of this generation, I think. This generation is a bit insane.
But, I didn't know Classy Freddie Blassie until I was like 9, 10, 11 years old. He wasn't anywhere near my product until I saw him in like maybe in the Hall of Fame in 96. Something like that. So, like, that's how I was introduced to Classy Freddie Blassie, other than tapes from, like, the rock and wrestling era.
Right. When did he give the pep talk? Was that during the invasion angle?
It was the invasion angle with JBL and not JBL, the Acolytes, obviously.
Yeah,
JBL.
But it goes to your bigger point. Like, when they wanted to make a statement, they brought in somebody like Freddie Blassie. Yeah.
You gotta remember, when WWF bought out WCW, there was no place else for anyone to go. And Cornette was left out in the cold. So what did he do? Shoot interviews. And he buried fucking everybody.
And he still buries everybody.
Everybody. So for 2001 to 2004, it was people just looking up Jim Cornette shoots on YouTube. This guy's hysterical. He's hysterical.
And he did, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he induct the Rock and Roll Express into the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
So I guess that would be the younger generation, if you watched it. Like, would be their introduction. Like, why can't Jim Cornette show up? I guess because
he could. He could.
He
does done
the table for three.
He did table for three.
That's
he's
a good point.
He's recorded stuff for the network as far as like DVDs and collections and things like that.
So he shouldn't. So he's still keeping himself relevant even with all of his antics.
The one thing that I don't like is like there's ways that he differentiates things that were done years ago from now, and some of them I get. But other things like hardcore stuff, like he shits on like ECW that it was all garbage, this and that. Yeah. But then how can you turn around and then like, you know, like defend like something like the Tupelo concession stand brawls and things like that? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like Freddie Blassie, before he became the Hollywood Fashion Plate, he was a vicious motherfucker.
That's right.
He would file his teeth to bite people's heads off.
Him and John Tolos in the early 70s were some of the most violent, bloodiest matches you would ever see.
Yep.
For that era.
And he's got his name. He has his name, right? Adam Carolla did an interview, and I go, why is your podcast successful? And he said, because I'm famous. And that's all he needed to start a podcast. Cornette has his name. So when he goes after the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, who are arguably some of the biggest wrestlers in the world, not under the WWE umbrella, everybody's talking about it. When he gets in an argument with Dan Barry, when he gets in an argument with Kenny Omega
or
and
Santino
the Young
Marella.
Bucks and Santino Marella, people who don't like the WWE product, I think there might be more independent wrestling fans than WWE fans. And probably
I don't know. WWE stock will tell you a different story.
Not the ratings last night.
Well, not the ratings, but they're fucking making more money than they ever have before.
But you have the fans that go back and forth, and then there's the people on social media. And when Jim Cornette's all over it, and he's picking fights with the biggest dog in the yard, and that's why we're talking about Jim Cornette in 2018.
Well, goddamn.
All I'll say is this. You guys mentioned the Tupelo Street Brawl. Onita told me that was one of his biggest inspirations to create FMW.
There you go. There you go.
And who didn't love FMW?
My God, you know what somebody posted up the other day? Hayabusa taking his first steps.
The walk.
Yeah, the walk. Oh, my God, dude. People with the tears in their eyes and screaming for him. Oh, man.
Such a shame. I think that the same thing that happened to Christopher Reeve happened to him. Just too much time in the wheelchair, and it just caught up to him. Such a shame to see that guy.
Well, was Christopher Reeve walking? I don't think he ever got up.
No, he never got up.
Yeah.
No, he just jumped on. They put him on the horse.
Do you remember when they put him on that shock machine to get his muscles moving and it looked like he was running, but he was all hooked up to, you really want to fucking creep yourself out. Look that up. I don't know if there's video of it, but it's basically him held in a harness running, even though he's paralyzed, because this machine is shocking his muscles into moving like he's running. It's fucking
check it out.
Creepy. Well, I know you like creepy, crazy shit.
Oh, I do.
Where's the line for you with the creepy, crazy
shit?
There is no line.
Nothing.
I'm not going to say this, but I'll shout out Schlack for a video he sent me about a week ago.
Oh, do tell.
I'm not going to.
No,
it
no,
is
no,
so
come on.
Bad.
You can't. You can't. Come on. You got to.
So you can tell you off
I'll just
air.
Tell you this. It's two dudes taking arms, elbows deep. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait, is it one guy doing both of the other dudes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And he's elbow deep in both of
them. So he's like downhill skiing.
Yeah.
This is not your family-friendly podcast,
nope,
folks. Just a reminder.
Not when I'm here.
We are sitting here live on rantymradio.com, speaking with low-life Louie, who's back from his retirement.
So that's how you say it, schlock?
Schlack.
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 And he's with that fucking Maria.
Maria Maddox.
She's a fucking, look, I think she's hot, but she is fucking intimidating as fuck.
One of the toughest women I've been around.
Especially with that tattoo.
A hell of a
man eater tattoo.
Yeah.
I might be completely out of left field. You ever work with Amy Lee?
Yes, I've never wrestled Amy Lee,
okay.
and we would like to hook up a match between Low Life Louie and Amy Lee.
That would be awesome.
I believe it's on YouTube. Me and New Jack with Amy Lee as the ref.
Okay, I need to check that out. She is a bad bitch, man. She is crazy, and she's funny as shit, too. She's real funny.
So I'm looking at the stuff you've done in 2018. What's the barefoot Lego match like?
Yeah, come on, dude. Really?
Ooh.
That's got to be worse than light tubes and thumbtacks.
No, it wasn't that bad, believe it or not. It was not.
Bro, I fucking step on a cat toy and I'm like fucking limping around the apartment like a bitch.
Listen, gusset plates are the worst. Skewers are the worst. The barefoot Lego was nothing to me, believe it.
Legos hurt like shit. But you know what it is? People, like, they see you get hit with thumbtacks, they see you get hit with light tubes. That's not shit that happens to people.
No.
Everybody knows what it feels like to step on a Lego.
That's where I think it is. Like, when you're not expecting to step on a Lego and you step on a Lego, it's the most excruciating thing ever. When you're like, oh, it's part of the match, you probably know what to expect.
What was it? ICW started introducing that, right? Wasn't that around when Pinky Sanchez was with the champion there?
Maybe.
They started doing Lego death matches. It hasn't
been
around all
that
long, as far as I remember.
Has been around for a while, so
yeah. When people didn't want to, it was like, didn't it start as like a poppy, not a poppy gimmick, but like a gimmick where like instead of tacks, you just like people were expecting tacks, but instead they just poured out Legos.
That would creep me out. Just the sound of the plastic of the Legos like clinking together as like they hit the canvas.
Who started the skewer shit?
That was Masada.
That was Masada, dude. Come on,
Masada. Masada. Was in a restaurant with in Japan where they did the. This is 100% shoot.
Of course,
where
he
they
was.
Had the barbecue skewers, and some guy said to him, one of the guys in the restaurant said, "Masada-san, skewering match," and he wrestled. I believe it was Ryuji Ito that night, and he used the skewers that they would use in a barbecue stand in Japan. On Ito, and it caught on ever since, and it's been like 10 years strong. So Masada is the innovator and master of the skewers.
But how does he approach his opponent with that? Like, hey, I got this idea. I got these wooden skewers from the restaurant we just went to.
Deathmatch guys. We pretty much don't say no to much.
Yeah, but then you see like a David Starr doing it. Like, he's getting it done to him. It's like,
you see,
what the fuck?
I've always, whenever I've done something like that, I've always asked Masada, but I've never done it without Masada's permission or without asking him, but I would never try to steal somebody else's gimmick. I mean, he was one of the first guys to use gusset plates. He used the skewers. You know, he's an innovator.
He used the skewers on David Starr.
Yeah.
And that's like, I was like,
I mean, if Masada's using it, he's the one that innovated that.
Sure.
But there's a lot of guys that they'll use it. And they won't credit him, which I think is terrible.
But just with like 30 fucking skewers sticking out of their head like a fucking
retarded
unicorn thing.
Yeah, that's
like
the most beautiful visual in wrestling is the peacock skewers after Masada puts them in. And that is the reason I wanted to fucking get that done when I wrestled Masada. And he ended up skewering me so bad that he elbowed them into my head.
Awful. What did you think of talking death matches? What did you think of the Janela David Starr? Did you see that?
I have not seen it.
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good.
Thank you, Chris Farley.
Well, those are two great workers. You know, they can do any style.
Right, and then you throw in like a death match element. I thought it was done.
Joey has done a bunch of great death matches.
Yes.
If you see Joey versus Zandig, people talk about the cage bump. I mean, the roof bump.
The roof bump, yeah.
That match is amazing for all the bumps and the story that it told. Penelope Ford even took a bump in that match.
She took a bump in the David Starr match, too.
Yeah, she's another great worker.
What's the greatest death match you've ever seen?
Whew. There, two, well, three stick out. Tremont Masada, Gage Tremont 2, where they do the ring covered in nothing but cinder blocks light tubes. And they're taking superplexes onto those cinder blocks. That was at a GCW, I think it was the second Nick Gage Invitational. And Tremont beat Gage in that. That's one. Two, Takeda versus Ishikawa, June 30th, 2014, Big Japan Deathmatch title. That's the match where they bring out the cut can board for the first time, which is the can, the aluminum cans cut in half, played upside down.
I've seen that.
That's the first time they use that. Takeda takes the old awesome bomb over the top onto a plate pane of glass. It's just an amazing match. And to me, the greatest death match that I ever seen was Masada versus Kasai. Freedom's Pain Limit 2010 final. It is the most, it's about 27 minutes long. They end up peeling the canvas off the ring. They take out the boards. Kasai takes bumps into the hole that's left in the ring. It's just an amazing match.
Jesus.
If you're a deathmatch fan and you haven't watched the Freedom's Pain Limit 2010 final, Masada Kasai, you're not a deathmatch fan.
Yeah, I was a huge deathmatch fan back in the tape trading days. And then when I started doing the podcast again, I bought like a Best of Big Japan deathmatch, like 5 DVD set off of IVP videos. And some of them are a little ridiculous.
I love it.
Like the fucking with the like the piranha in the tank.
I used to get those.
And the alligator in the tank.
The exploding
little alligator.
Yeah.
Man.
And then like they hold them over and you're like, ah, come on. But then some of those are like, bro, what the fuck?
When you see the circus net and the guy is climbing the scaffold and takes a bump onto the barbed wire net, I've never done that, but that has to hurt.
Where do you, and I may have asked you this before, where do you stand with the weed whacker?
Hey, it's a deathmatch weapon.
Have you been hit with the weed whacker?
No, I have not, but I would take it in a second.
Fuck
no
that, problem. Bro.
Not a problem.
That's crazy.
Listen, if it's in the context of a deathmatch and I am asked if my opponent, we're breaking down the fourth, fifth, and sixth wall here. If my opponent comes up to me and says, hey, I got this idea. And there's a very large crowd, and they're hungry and thirsty for blood, and it's the fans that always love and support the death matches, especially here on the East Coast. I'm liable to do anything for them. So, the weed whacker, whatever.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I love it. I love the death match stuff. Shit, I don't. I mean, who is the deathmatch guy now? I know Nick is back. I know Masada's a legend. Last time we had David Starr here, David actually had Masada staying with him, and he didn't bring him because he just didn't think to ask.
He called in, yeah.
So we called and we talked to Masada. And then I feel like we found like a list of like the 30 greatest deathmatch wrestlers, and he was like 25, and I think that's a bunch of horseshit.
I think Masada's top 5 in my opinion. He's just a great all-around hybrid.
Well, because he can do it. A lot of people don't realize he can wrestle, too.
Yeah.
He can wrestle his balls.
He's a great hybrid.
A lot of you guys can.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you guys before. I wrestled Kurt Hawkins, a.k.a. Brian Myers.
Who?
I went 15 minutes with him, you know, wrestling. No hardcore, no chair, no nothing.
There's an Axel Rotten match on an ECW pay-per-view. It's like the opening match. And I want to say he wrestles like Lance Storm. And it's straight wrestling for like
that guy was amazing.
10, 13 minutes. It's great stuff.
Just knowing that Balls and Axel are gone breaks my heart. Those were two of the best all around original hybrid guys you could find because they did everything hardcore and they could wrestle their asses off with anybody.
Yeah.
You know. But in my opinion, as a deathmatch guy, the best guy right now on the planet, I'd have to say, is Kasai, obviously, with his student Masashi Takeda following a close second. That's in Japan. In America, I'm partial, man. This guy's my brother, my friend. I love him to death. Matt Tremont. I'd have to say him, then Gage. What, like I say with Hogan and Flair, A and 1 and 1A.
Yeah.
I'm going to say with them, Tremont and Gage, 1 and 1A. Then you got guys like Jeff Cannonball, Marcus Crane, Schlack, Masada, Eric Ryan.
Jimmy Lloyd.
Alex Colon, who is like the only other, like, you know, guy with a Hispanic last name that has done this deathmatch stuff. So much love to Alex.
Well, and you also like Colon, right?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
From the inside out, baby.
Oh, boy.
Pink socks for everybody.
That's right, daddy.
I got to isolate that.
Oh, shit.
That's a sound bite.
I had a question. I don't even remember what it was.
That's all right.
No, I do, actually. In deathmatch, just like in wrestling, there's peaks and valleys of how interested people are in it and how much they aren't. In deathmatch, has it always been consistent, or has there been shows where you've done in front of like 2, or shows you've done in front of like 200, 2,000?
Just like you just said, peaks and valleys. For a while there, the only guy, and even myself, I had taken a step back and was doing a tag team wrestling with Steve Mack.
Yeah.
I did one street fight match and one death match in like a 3-year span. So I even had stepped away from it. And the only guy really doing death matches was Matt Tremont. And he carried the genre on his back and, you know, kept it relevant. And for that, all us death match guys owe him a debt of gratitude. The guy is an amazing death match wrestler, a great wrestler, and an even better human being. And I give him all the credit in the world for doing that, because he carried a whole genre when a lot of guys were like either retired or had passed away or on their way out. And I mentioned it before, that Nick Gage Invitational was basically like the resurgence of deathmatch. And we had Tremont was there, Danny Havoc, the wife beater made an appearance, Corporal Robinson, Masada, Nate Hatred. So it was just an amazing list of talents.
Do you see death match wrestling sticking around for the long haul? Do you see it ever going away in this era of everyone's offended by something, everyone takes offense to this and that, this is too much? Do you see it ever going away, or do you see it pretty much sticking around in its niche?
You know, Kevin, you guys were there. You were there especially when, you know, Jersey All Pro was holding tryouts. The reason why they were holding those tryouts years ago was because they were trying to stay away from death matches, because at that time, that's what they were known for, and the mayor of Bayonne wanted them out because of that.
That's right. Wow.
So it goes through, you know, stages. Right now we have guys like Jimmy Lloyd, like the Prophet, Orrin Vate. We have guys like Ron Mathis, you know, guys that are willing to put their bodies on the line for deathmatch wrestling. Mitch Vallon, Dan O'Hare, Brandon Kirk, who's been here, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Brandon's, you know, great.
Love Brandon.
You know,
Brandon.
All these guys are willing to step up for deathmatch wrestling. So it'll always be around. And, you know, if I have any say in it, and this is like the craziest thing, I never wanted my son to do deathmatch wrestling, but as he is around it and he, you know, I have him pay his dues. He sets up chairs. He makes weapons. He cleans up the ring during in between matches. He's, you know, he's trying to learn the old school way, because nowadays the old school way is dead, and I'm not about that. I'm about learning the old-fashioned way, and I teach him that way, and this is what he wants to do. So, you know, in 5-10 years, my son might be the one carrying this shit on his back. I don't know.
And you touched on something that was going to be my follow-up question. How do you get new talent into this genre of wrestling? Do you find the guys that are just eager to do whatever they want or whatever they need to do? Or does it take a special kind of person to get into this?
I think that you have to love it and want to do it. That's the bottom line.
So you have to, like, your son has been around it, so you have to grow up watching it? You have to grow up kind of experiencing it? Or can it be, like, any guy who goes to school and they're like, hey, we need you to do this tonight, and they say, okay.
I don't want to cut you off, Kevin. Isn't that the Drake Younger story?
Like, that's actually the Corporal Robinson story.
Like, they had a spot out in, like, Indiana, and he just jumped in the car and went out there, and it just happened to be, like, a deathmatch thing.
It might have been, but I know that that's the Corporal Robinson story. Madman Pondo was scheduled to wrestle, I forget the guy's name, but Madman Pondo was on the card. The guy he was supposed to wrestle, Rugby Thug or somebody, bailed out. Once he heard what kind of match they were doing, Ian Rotten, who was the promoter, said, Corp, you want to step in? Corp, being a legit tough dude and a legit Marine, said, yeah, fuck it, I'll try it. And that led to a career of 20-plus years in deathmatch wrestling. Jesus. So it all depends, you know?
Let me ask you. Turn your mic on.
Yeah, I
turn my mic on.
Before you ask him this, I just want to let you know. Casanova Valentin on Twitter, he said it was a true dream match for him to wrestle you, and he hopes he can see a company put on you versus Nick Gage. So I just want to shout
Casanova
out Casanova
Valentin, nothing but love and respect for that guy. He booked me for a no-ring death match about 20 blocks from where I grew up in Brooklyn. We had a hell of a bloodbath, and nothing but love and respect. He's a guy that, you know, he respects the guys that came before him, and he found his own niche with the no-ring death match, and now he's doing his thing. He's booked everywhere. He did TOD. He did, you know, the Hardcore Kingdom for H2O Wrestling, and nothing but good things for Casanova. The guy has amazing matches. He just did one right after Thanksgiving against Mance Warner in Brooklyn. And, you know, much respect to Casanova, man.
You mentioned Jersey All-Pro having problems with the mayor of Bayonne with all the blood, the guts, whatever. Do you run into problems with the New York State Athletic Commission? Because I know even the past couple of years, they've been really cracking down on a lot of stuff with ambulance requirements, doctor requirements, been extra stringent on the physicals and whatnot. Run into any problems with them?
I actually wrestled only one match in New York in the last couple of years. That was for the USA Pro reunion show this past September. I wrestled Matt Tremont. The night before, I had wrestled for H2O Wrestling against Mitch Vallon. The match had a razor board. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the razor board. It's just basically, thank you, Kevin. It's just basically razor blades on foam on wood.
Why?
Stuck upside down.
Hardcore, bro.
And Mitch Vallon is one of the youngest, toughest guys out there in deathmatch. He is as strong as an ox. He grabbed my head and he made me headbutt the board 3 times. On the third headbutt, and I don't know if you can see it, it's a fresh pink scar on my head. Mm-hmm. The razor blade went straight in my head and pulled itself straight out as he pulled me away. The gusher was ridiculous.
Oh, I could imagine.
So when I wrestled the next day in Long Island at the NYWC building, I sat with the commissioner and I told him, look, this is what happened last night. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, please. He was very understanding. He's like, please, if you bleed, make sure you get right back in the ring and keep it in the ring. As long as you're safe, I will not stop you. But I have heard some horror stories about guys, you know, being against the bleeding and stuff. Luckily, I wasn't in a match where a guy did that and would have stopped the match. And the match went off without a hitch. It was a very good match. But, you know, I hate that. Because we're, you know, we're not, like, again, I go back to this. We're adults. We know what we're putting ourselves into. There is no reason. Unless the referee throws up the X, there is no reason for a commissioner or an outside official to stop a wrestling match because of some blood.
It's not even blood. Like I hate to bring up my tier one experience because Matt always shits on me for it, but there were a few times. I think it was Ethan Page was supposed to wrestle Jesse Brooks, and the commissioner's like, "No way, no chance, no how. This isn't happening." And referee Chris Levin. He was the one that pushed for it. They let him have the match. There was one. It was a six-man. And one of the guys started throwing a chair outside the ring. And as soon as he threw a chair, the commissioner got up. Not the commissioner. The guy from the athletic commission was like, nope, done. Shut it down. Stop the match immediately. And it wasn't even stuff like you're talking about. You know, it wasn't hardcore at all. Somebody picked up a chair, and that was it. Nope, done.
I think that's ridiculous.
It was. It was absolutely ridiculous.
You know, I'll tell you, back in 2003, George Ward, who you can actually see him on Showtime and HBO on all the boxing events. He's part of the New York State Athletic Commission. he would actually physically walk up to me and ask me, hey, Louis, you're bleeding again? And I would tell him, of course, George, what else am I going to do? And he would basically just like shrug, smile, drink a beer with me and turn the other way, let me do my match. He knew what I was doing. And we never had a problem. All through that run that I did in USA Pro from early 2003 to the end of 2006 when Frank Goodman packed up and moved to Florida, I never had a problem. I wrestled Abdullah the Butcher, New Jack, Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney. So you tell me where those matches are going.
Let me ask you something. With all the like, the new weapons that people find a way to use, whether it's this, whether it's that, like, how do you determine how to work a certain gimmick? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you mentioned, like, the foam with the spike. Like, is it something that you just, like, use your experience?
You just try it. You just try it. Listen,
trial and error.
In my match that I just mentioned in New York against Matt Tremont, we had a computer monitor, about a 15-inch Dell, just like this one, glued to a stick, like a thick 2x4.
Pretty much looks like this one. Yeah. It's never on. It's never use it.
And, yeah.
Unless Tremont, the turnbuckle throwbacks are here.
Tremont actually smashed it over my head, and the thing shattered, like screen pieces everywhere, and it was really bad. But I took the shot, and I went on to win the match, so... You know, we used it, the crowd loved it, and that's what you expect, the pop of the crowd.
Now, you mentioned Captain Hep C before.
Jesus. Come on.
What? Do you ever worry about that? He gave fucking hepatitis to the kid in
Canada.
You
know what? I'm gonna shoot on that right now.
Oh, here we go.
You know,
look, first of all, I know you got a free pass at this fucking restaurant, so I know where this is coming
from. No, I do not. 100%.
All you can eat, Louis eating Abdullah barbecue for the rest of his life.
And Chinese food.
Just because of this spot right here.
No, I'm going to 100% shoot. I worked with Abdullah the Butcher 3 times. 3 times I bled and shared blood with him. 1 time he cut me with his bloody hands with a broken beer bottle at the Amazura Hall in New York.
What a creep.
Okay.
I like that.
I never had any issues. My children are Hep C free. My wife, who I have relations with, is
coitus.
Yeah, exactly. She is Hep C free. I don't have hepatitis C. Abdullah, I saw when I was a referee in a match, Jersey O Pro first anniversary show, Abdullah the Butcher versus Bandido. Bandido actually loses his blade in a table spot early on. Tells Abby, I lost my blade. And again, I'm pulling back the fourth and fifth wall.
And Abby said, no problem, brother.
Abby ripped off his mask, said, no problem, champ. And took care of him with his finger, you know. And Bandido, from what I know, him, I bled with Bandido 100 times in all the years I worked with him for UWA and Passaic. No hepatitis. I don't have it. Carlos Colon would have it. He bled 1,000 times. He wrestled Abdullah in his retirement match in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, but he wrestled Abdullah for like decades.
Yeah, exactly. He would have it. He'd be dying. He'd have no liver by now, Carlos Colon. He doesn't have it. I don't have it. Homicide, DeVito, and Loke bled buckets with Abdullah in the first time I ever worked with him at Ring of Honor's Night of the Butcher. They don't have it. So you tell me.
You hear that?
Okay, fair enough. I will always refer to him as Hep C Man. is that something you ever worry about? Like, Nigel McGuinness got it, and that essentially ruined his career. And it's not that he wasn't. I don't think he was in a match in a blood. I think it was just, is that ever like...
Here's the thing. You could get anything anywhere.
Of course.
You could get... Listen, I'm going to, again, fourth wall down the toilet.
We don't have one.
My shoe job is I'm a janitor. I'm a janitorial foreman or services manager in a building in Midtown Manhattan. That's a fancy word for shit cleaner and garbage thrower outer. All right? I deal with trash all day. I don't use gloves. I hate gloves. So I'm throwing out trash. I'm cleaning shit, spit, blood, whatever has to be cleaned, I clean it. If I'm going to get something, fuck, it's going to happen. It's out in the environment. People get sick from touching the knobs and the poles in the train station, in the subway.
Matt touches knobs all the time.
And poles.
So
I prefer the poles.
And Hep C is, people think, oh, it's just blood. No, if you share, like if you wrestle in a ring and one guy has it,
right.
Everybody is exposed. Whether you catch it or not, it's your body's defense mechanism. Because anybody can catch that. Bro, I've had about 5 or 6 staph infections in my life, MRSA, all from wrestling and rings, you know?
Right.
And I've never cried, oh, that guy gave me MRSA or that guy gave me staph. Shit happens, bro.
Oh, have MRSA, daddy.
Have MRSA, daddy.
I don't know. It seems like it's just a...
It's a risky game, but yeah, like you said, they're adults. Risky.
Yeah. I don't...
Fair enough. I'm not saying anyone's at fault for it. I'm just saying, is that something...
You like, just like saying Abdullah's Hep C. And
listen, does it do scare me? That. Yeah, I got a wife and kids at home. Do I want them to get sick? Do I have to, you know, quarantine myself and not be around my children because, oh, shit, I cut my finger and I got Hep? No, I don't want to do that. But in the flip side of it, I think it's also been extremely exaggerated because, like I said, if Abdullah the Butcher, a guy with the trajectory that he's had for 50, 60 years in this business, if he would have had hepatitis, there'd be a lot more guys out there with hepatitis than not.
All right, fair enough. That's fair point.
And I'd be one of them because, like I said, I bled with him 3 times. One of the times it was just ridiculous, the amount of blood we were commingling. Ugh. I would have had it, 100%.
Commingling. You make it sound like you guys like got joint bank accounts.
Yeah, if a glass goes here, plastic goes there, blood in the middle. There you go. You're good to go.
Do you want to do another round of Bean Boozle?
No, not yet, bro. Come on. What the we hasn't even been 45 minutes yet.
Has the taste got out of your mouth yet?
Yeah. I'm drinking Four Loko. I'll do one. Come on.
All right, here we go.
Oh, God, right. Louie, you are a trooper.
All right, you want to spin for Louie?
All right, we're spinning Give for it a Louie.
Spin. Spinning for Louie.
I'm the guy who eats ghost peppers, ghost chilies, Carolina Reapers. Well,
you
see,
that's why I thought we'd do a little something different. And the face you made after the first one, I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but that's like hot, spicy stuff. Like, this is like, that rotten egg was the fucking worst thing I've ever tasted.
Dog food wasn't that great either, brother. No. But whatever.
What did he get?
It's either juicy pear or booger.
Oh, I don't mind God. That. I've eaten my own boogers as a child.
As a child? Oh, that was like...
Wait, just smell it.
I don't want to smell it. Dude, please,
come
no.
Come on, give me a booger.
Just smell it.
Make sure you give me a boogery one. Please, booger.
Here we go.
Come on, booger.
You got it?
Oh. All right. I'm gonna.
That was that bag, fucking
juicy pear or booger.
He got a nice one.
Sometimes it's hard to tell.
It's definitely not pear.
That bag fucking stinks, dude.
I know it's putrid, dude.
Tony's doing it. Tony's
this is definitely salty booger.
Strawberry banana smoothie or dead fish.
Oh God.
Wait, is this? Oh God! Is this it?
Well, if you've eaten any type of Nordic cuisine, or dead rotten shit. Fish is on the menu constantly.
Or
so.
Bad pussy.
Oh my dude, I'm gonna fucking vomit. This bag smells so bad.
Oh God!
I don't know if this is the right one. The two of them look the same. It's either barf or dead fish or peach or strawberry. Well,
good luck
down the hatch.
Good luck. You're. Oh God. Oh.
Oh. Oh, it's barf.
Oh, that's gross.
That one would make me barf.
Oh, my God, it's barf.
That's fucking gross.
Oh, my God. You want another one?
No, I need a break, man. I need a break from the bean.
A break? Yo, Matt literally almost threw up from the smell of the bag.
That bag smells gross. Put that in Kevin's
bag. Wasn't nothing.
We'll put that in Kevin's bag when he leaves it again.
Kevin's like, go fuck yourself.
No, fuck you guys.
I tell you what, I'll give you a sealed one. You pick the one you want.
No, I'm not doing it.
Oh,
I want nothing
not,
to do
Kevin?
With this.
Kevin's
nonsense.
Not a team player.
Come on, have some
I'm
fun.
I literally had to bite my own arm
Look,
to prevent
we'll put the garbage can over here.
I still don't want to throw up, but I don't care what receptacle.
We don't want you to throw up either. But radio
gold. Oh my God, it's
how do you
bad.
Keep smelling it?
It's so bad.
It's like cocaine.
I can't really lie. The hat I wear at work like stinks from my sweat.
Oh, why don't you like, wash it, dude?
I like
do that
smell.
At work.
I like smell.
I wear a winter hat at work, and the same thing. Still wear Ugh. It.
Sometimes you can't wash that smell out.
No. Warsh.
Warsh. Kevin almost got it in his... His beard. Kevin's beard is looking fierce, by the way.
Warsh. I just love what you make fun of him for saying.
Make fun of the way I speak, you fucking dickhead.
Do you want to do commercials now so we get out of the way?
Yeah, do shitty commercials for the shitty shows on our shitty network. And you can listen to the Canadian guy say metal.
Metal, radioactive metal.
I was listening to 400 today, and the commercials come on like, and the best, hard rock and heavy, metal.
Metal, metal. It's radioactive. And he says it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Metal. I'm like, who, what the fuck?
Metal.
Guys, they rock.
The way we say it, back after this. Tony here. Sorry, always wanted to do that, even though I wind up doing that every week. But guys, you know, the holidays are just around the corner. Christmas time, Hanukkah time, Kwanzaa time, whatever time. You're going to be doing your online shopping through Amazon. Why not do it through us? Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, click on your country's banner, and when you shop, we get a little bit of the cut that Amazon would normally take. Now, you're not paying anything extra, but their profits get a little bit into our pockets, and we keep this gravy train rolling. So this year, when Santa's coming down the chimney and you're not getting credit for what you bought, you can have a smile on your face when you realize that your purchases help to support the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
And we're back.
I thought you were going to do Patreon.
Yeah, well, I'm doing Patreon. What do you? Hey, guys, it's the Patreon producer time. Don't forget, if you want to be a producer of the Shining Wizards, kicking off our eighth season in style, head on over to patreon.com/Shining Wizards. Join Wizards Podcast or Shining Wizards? Wizards Podcast, thank you. You can put your mic on, too, by the way. It's too far away?
I always do the Amazon thing. Every time I go to Amazon now, I go to Europe's site first.
This guy.
And we love you for that. And we love you folks even more if you do the Amazon. Join us on Patreon. Support us. $1 a month. That's all it takes.
I live on Amazon.
That's all it is.
If you donate more, you get some perks. Like you get to ask us questions on email. Get to call in. You get an email at ShiningWizards.com. How cool is that? And you get banners on the website. Let's thank our producers right now. We want to thank Cindy Ardone. Thank you to Cindy Ardone. Thanks, Dan Rusinello and his handsome brother, by the way. Thank you, of course, to our favorite Kathy Hummer.
But don't thank his handsome brother if his handsome brother didn't donate.
Well, I want to thank his brother, though.
Why?
Because
did he donate?
Matt shit on him the other day.
All right.
I kind of have to donate back together.
Yeah, but we're not going to thank Anthony anymore, so don't worry about that. Thank you to Kratzo, our buddy from across the pond, Mike Martinelli, and Sean Toe. You like that?
God.
Well, you don't like that? You better
I don't get the reference.
You better work. You don't remember that? RuPaul? You better work. Turn to the left. Turn. Louis, am I on an island here?
I don't know the words. I know the RuPaul song.
Where? I know who RuPaul is.
Turn to. Oh, pull that up then. You could. What? You don't think that'd be funny?
Oh, so now
I do RuPaul.
Hold on. Now I have to put the mic down.
Yeah, put your mic on. Now you have to make him do work to put it down.
I'm sorry. I did the Patreon producers.
I just didn't get the reference. Anyway, thank you everyone who supports us on the Patreon.
Well, you could have left it playing. I mean,
he can't if he's trying to find another.
I'm gonna punch you.
Punch! I wanna punch you in the ass. What? You know the Out Here Brothers.
No, I just know that ass punches turn into fisting, so.
Oh, boy.
Matt's got a gaper, so it's all good.
This song?
Yes. You've never heard this?
I've heard it.
Not you, Kevin. You've heard this, right?
Probably.
Oh, my God. You guys are so baby.
I'm also brain dead. Oh, yeah. I've heard this.
All right. Forget it. Boo.
Kevin's really not, he doesn't really follow the chicks with dick, so.
I do.
I know you do.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe you knew the words to this.
It's turn to the left, turn to the right.
No, I've heard this song before, but I don't know where the Chanteau thing comes in.
Listen.
We have 120
minutes. He said it and you walked all over it, you jerk.
Because it's not fucking important.
Oh, it was to Kevin. He didn't get the show.
120 minutes and we're wasting time on this.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
Not RuPaul and his shitty song.
So then why are you playing it?
Listen, give him credit. He sticks it right back to you.
Yeah. Stick dick right face.
Like RuPaul.
Yeah. Sashay Shantae. I think that Matt is gay.
Thank you. Do you want to present?
Yeah, hold on. Let me take my flat.
Oh, boy. I don't even know what.
Listen, when you mention presenting with Louie in the room, you got to, you know, you got to take it for what it is.
I should have. When you go and get the thing, just go in this way and just grab me a twist of tea out of the refrigerator.
Yeah, sure. Anything else you need?
Well, now I need one since he's.
Oh.
The fuck
is that you?
Is it?
That my phone?
Dude, well, it ain't me.
Might be.
M.
Louis getting booty calls.
No. There he goes.
Oh, boy.
Matt's losing his mind.
I was looking for my Botchamania soundboard, but I can't find it.
Are you going to get the thing?
No. I'm going.
Thank you.
You can talk. You know, it's a talk show.
No, I understand, but we
use
need
your voice.
We're on it.
The outside voice.
We have a time crunch, you know? Crunch.
What was the last time you did a crunch?
Ooh.
That's good. That's good.
It took me a second to get it.
Why are you going to the refrigerator first?
The crunch.
Get the more important thing for our.
There it is.
There it is, Daddy.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yowza.
This is the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. You're listening to us live on The Rant. Low Life Louis Ramos is in studio. He comes the wrong.
Drink,
oh, boy.
I had to. I found it.
All right. Well, you guys got to set the. I don't want nothing to do with what's in there.
Jesus Christ, Kevin.
Kevin, Jesus.
What, you can't hand it to him? All right, fine. Give it to me.
Matt's coming to punch you. I don't even remember what the award is called, to be honest with you.
Here, Matt, take my mic if you're going to be over here.
I got an award.
Here we go. No, here we go.
Okay, Low Life Louis Ramos, on behalf of Matt, Kevin, Tony, and Eddie,
yes.
Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. This was something that was made specifically for you, and we're going to give to you at our live anniversary show. 2 years, three years.
Three.
Wow. So we present.
Thank you.
It was 2 years ago, actually. It is the 2016 Dilly Award for guest participation.
This is the greatest award I've ever received.
I can't.
This is going on my wall next to my Survival of the Sickest trophy.
Yeah, but look at how bad it is. It's like scotch tape and duct tape.
Dude, it's a dildo. I don't care.
Oh, boy.
He's the winner of the 2016 Dilly.
I love it. You know, the funny thing is, this is a picture from the match that I got injured in.
So,
buy that dildo, probably.
You know, I remember years ago we talked about making the Ultimate Warrior dildo.
Yes.
I wanted to sit down and do it. I just didn't have time.
Well, clearly we had time to.
And we were going to give that to you in a bar in front of people.
I would have loved it. You know what happened that day? I remember that day clearly. I was in communication with Eddie. The ceiling.
Just keep pushing it towards Kevin. No,
the ceiling.
That's just way too
orange.
Close to me.
Kevin can't go anywhere. Just keep push. Look how uncomfortable he
that's,
is.
It's way too close to me. Yo, get the fuck out.
Oh, my God, Kevin. It's just a fake rubber penis.
The ceiling in my storage room. I was 2 months into my new job.
Dude.
And the ceiling in my job fell in the storage room. And we had a giant flood.
I remember. It poured rain. That day. It
oh
poured
my God,
that
the rain
day.
Was horrendous that day. I went home and I watched Rudolph with the wife and kids.
And you were like, oh, this is the most offensive thing I've ever seen?
What, Rudolph?
Fuck,
hell no.
Fucking
listen,
kill yourself.
Me and my wife always say this. If they ever take Rudolph off the air, we're going to go on a killing spree.
Oh, no. You heard it here,
no,
folks.
No, you did not hear that here.
Nope.
That was not on the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast.
ShiningWizards.com. Definitely not on that website.
I've been listening to a lot of murder podcasts and watching a lot of murder shows. I want no part of that.
Then leave Rudolph alone.
Yeah.
All right, Louie, we're going to do a new segment with you. It's called Five Count, Five Questions with Low Life Louie Ramos. A brand new thing. I just came up with it today.
Now let's ask a question.
That's what we're going
to. Who originated the Five Count?
King Kong Bundy.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Good man.
That wasn't one of the questions, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that doesn't count.
All right, Louie.
Doesn't Five Count?
First question. In the new segment, Five Count.
We're gonna have theme music?
I didn't have any theme music. I'm sorry.
Terrible.
You got something over there? Anything?
Yeah. Five count. Five count. Nope. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five count with Louie.
Well, that's going to change every week with every guest, but whatever. Well,
it's for Louie this week, so I tailored it for him.
So, Louie, when you close your eyes to go to sleep, right?
Mm-hmm. Is this the romantic?
You could see one of these two images while you sleep. It's on the inside of your eyelids. It's either Lemon Party or Tub Girl.
Lemon Party, 100%. 110%.
All right.
Because I want to, that's my goal when I'm old, okay?
Jesus Christ.
70-year-old Lemon Party Louie.
Look at Kevin.
Low Life Louie will retire, and he will be Lemon Party Louie,
oh,
okay?
We have the name of the episode. Lemon Party Louie. Question two. Question two of the five count. Your last meal, Taco Bell or Ghost Pepper Wings?
Ooh.
If it's my last meal, like on death row, neither.
Oh, well.
Well, you got to pick one or the other.
I'd want a slice of my wife's lasagna.
Is that like some euphemism for something?
No. Oh, come on, man. No. My wife makes the best lasagna on the planet. A slice of my wife's lasagna and a plate of my mother's rice and beans with a fried pork chop and 3-4 Locos, and I would die a happy man.
All right.
Okay, but if that wasn't the option, what were your options?
Taco Bell, 100%.
Right. Oh. I know you like my
birthday,
spicy
listen,
shit.
My birthday's in a week, and I keep thinking about how many items I'm going to order off the menu.
What's a normal trip to Taco Bell? How much are you dropping?
About $45.
Just for you?
No, for the family.
Oh, all right.
My son eats about as much as I do, if not more now.
Yeah, nice. My kid's at that point, too.
Yeah.
Fucking.
My son is... Yeah, we were talking about that before.
Yep.
What the hell's in the water? These
monsters,
kids are growing
man.
Up so fast.
Monsters.
Adults.
Ew.
What? You guys are adults. You have normal adult conversations.
I thought you said adults, yeah. Meaning there's adults in the water.
No, that'd be weird. Question three. Your favorite deathmatch opponent?
Ooh, fuck. That's a tough one.
Fuck. What happened for you?
Dude, I've wrestled.
For him. I'm
okay, listen.
Louis loves everybody.
Abby.
Yeah, there you go.
I've wrestled Terry Funk. I wrestled New Jack, Masada, Tremont, Ian Ryan, Axel Ryan, Bulls Mahoney, Norman Smiley.
Necro Butcher?
No, I never wrestled him. Wow. We did two angles together, but never wrestled a full match.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it is. But there's the one, my favorite match of all time, July 16th, 2016, Survival of the Sickest, round one, me against Jeff Cannonball. I've had about 10 matches with Jeff, tag team matches, regular matches, full-blown, disgusting, violent death matches. I'd have to say my favorite opponent of all time is Jeff Cannonball.
There you go.
All right, question four in the five count. Onita or Pogo?
For me, it was always Pogo, man. Look at the fucking white camos I'm wearing, bro.
There you go.
Oh, I wrestled Chainsaw Tony Myers at H2O this past May. And I this was right after Mr. Pogo had passed away. I did full-blown black T-shirt, white camos, knee pads outside the camos, black boots, Pogo paint. The whole nine.
Do you have the sickle?
The sickle, everything. Nice. I ordered it as a tribute to Pogo because he was such an influence to me. And wrestling Tony Myers will probably be as close as I come to wrestling in Japan. So much love and respect to Tony Myers, a guy who has wrestled everybody. So
I don't know if you ever heard, he was a guest on the 605 podcast back when Pogo passed away.
Yeah.
It was an excellent interview.
I heard both. Yeah, both. Yeah.
That's right. He was a two-parter, yeah. Excellent. If you guys really want to learn about Pogo, definitely check that out. Completely worth a listen. Tony Myers, good people.
The fact that Mr. Pogo saw one of my matches means the world to me because I used to sit there as a teenager and want to be Mr. Pogo. So
that's cool.
And then question five in the five count brings it all together. If you're following us on Facebook, facebook.com/wizardspodcast, we put up questions every day. Our question today, which I know Louis was very excited to talk about. In your eyes, who is the one guy who was never a world champion that you think should have been a world heavyweight champion?
I was thinking about this on the way here, believe it or not, because I saw the discussion on this, on the Facebook. And 100% Roddy Piper. If I was the booker, if I was Vince or the booking committee back in 94, before WrestleMania 1, what I would have done is I would have had Piper beat Hogan at the War to Settle the Score on MTV, national television, cable TV. It would have made headlines all over the world because MTV was in its infancy, but it was so hot at the time. I would have had Piper beat Hogan. Piper's the champ, the heel. You chase the heel. Always chase the heel. That's the old school mentality. And I would have had T in the corner of Hogan. The main event of WrestleMania 1 would have been Hogan with T in the corner against Piper with Orndorff in the corner. Hogan would have won the title with the help of T, setting up the T-Piper match at Mania 2 that we saw. But then you would have had Piper as the champ heel dropping the belt to Hogan at Mania 1. That's the way I would have done it. As now that I, you know, as a kid, you don't think about that. But now that I've been in this fucking world for 20-something years, that's what I would have done at that point in time.
And it actually makes sense because, like, it kind of, that would have been the way that you planned it, would have been the precursor to Tyson doing what he did to HBK.
Exactly.
Kind of like that, where, like, exactly. Without, you know, obviously without the switch, without the turn. But, yeah, that's actually, it probably would have had more impact with Mr. T not in the match. Just that one moment where he comes in and maybe he knocks out, he hits Piper, Hogan does that, and everyone goes nuts. I
kind of like that. You want to go around the room with that one?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great question. And there's so many, we saw so many different responses to different things, different situations, like, people put up Rick Rude, and a lot of people don't recognize that WCW international bullshit.
I consider that a world championship.
Do you?
Yeah.
Was Rude NWA champion?
No.
Okay.
It was weird part where, like,
yep. It was the gold belt
was gone, and Vader had, like, the really little belt.
Well, because Barry Windham won the NWA championship at that point when they took it away from Flair at some point, right? around that time?
Yes. Before he left,
he was
right?
Like NWA champion, yeah.
Yeah. So it was really strange.
And then they put it like him and Luger.
Yeah.
As the feud.
Luger.
I like the Piper idea, but I feel like there's certain guys that fall into that. Like, I don't think DiBiase ever needed the belt. Right? Because he had his own gimmick. He had the $1 million belt. He couldn't get the belt, so he bought his own belt. Like, Piper, he didn't... The belt wouldn't have really helped elevate him.
Yeah, I don't know if Piper's one of those guys that needed the belt.
I like the way Louis laid it out. Yeah, I like the idea.
But let me ask you... We have to separate whether or not they needed it or whether or not they should have, like... They should have gotten it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys don't need the belt, but it would have been awesome if they had a run with it.
I don't know if Piper would have had a great run with it, to be honest.
Oh, God. Piper would have been awesome. DiBiase, I also think, would have been awesome.
I would have loved Rude, like, WrestleMania Rude would have been 5 awesome. Or so.
If we're talking about WWE specifically.
Yes. Well,
but I consider that belt
even
a world
championship. Even in WCW, if he had won the big gold belt, when it wasn't the international belt, it was just the WCW World Heavyweight title, and Sting is chasing him.
Wow. I didn't realize it creeped that close. I wish I was filming that. I should have been paying attention.
Fucking brilliant. The brilliance of it all.
You know it's not real, right, Kev?
What? What do you mean? It's right in front of me. How is it not real?
No, like, it's not a real... Well,
it's been in a box for 2 years, so it can't be that filthy.
That's delicious.
You're right. We should add video of that. Holy macaroni.
Starting season 8 off right. It was fake Halloween blood from 2 years ago.
It's all good.
All right, so we going around the room or what?
Well... Yeah, all right. We might as well. Go ahead, Kev.
I think a guy, because this conversation has been done every year forever.
Well, I think
a guy that doesn't get mentioned a lot, especially if you think about WCW, is I think the British Bulldog should have had a run. He was so popular in the early 90s when he came back by himself. Then when he went to WCW, I really thought the British Bulldog could have pulled off being a world champion. It may not have meant as much being in WCW at that time in 92, 93, but I think it would have been great. I think he could have got one in either WWE or WCW.
I could see him more in WCW, although, again, I don't know necessarily if he needed the world title.
See, I don't understand what that means.
I agree with that because he had that such a great match with Bret Hart at that SummerSlam, which was what? 92. The Wembley Stadium one.
Yeah.
And then a few months after that, he was gone and in WCW. So I definitely agree with that, where they could have capitalized on him coming off being Intercontinental Champion and pushed him to world champion status.
You know, that was all Bret in that match. You know the infamous line where they locked up and he goes, "I'm fooked. I can't remember anything. I'm fooked."
Well, you know, if you read the Dynamite Kids book, Bret Hart, Jim Neidhart, God rest, Davey Boy Smith, God rest, they all used to smoke the gimmick together. So whether you believe that or not, hey, whatever.
That's a good book, by the way. That's become a very, like, in the background
Dynamite
book.
Yeah,
yes.
Not
many people talk about that book anymore.
Oh, I'm an owner of that book.
I love it. I got it on the shelf there, too. Amazing book.
Yeah,
amazing
me too. Anytime I'll put a shotgun to my wife's head, I just open the book and go.
Well, he's not still with her, though, right?
Huh?
Is he still with her or no?
No, he's with somebody else.
Married to his wheelchair.
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck, dude, he was a fucking dirtbag. Come on.
He was, but I mean, don't you think he suffered enough?
He did it to himself.
That's right.
It's not like he was like diddling kids or anything.
You know what?
Like
I have
that.
To agree with that because, you know what? I have all sorts of injuries and damage. I did it to myself. I ain't going to sit here and be like, oh, this guy or that guy's responsible. Nah.
Yeah, but he doesn't look for sympathy, does he? I mean, I've never told
him. I don't know about that, but I'm saying.
No, but people see because people, like, the Dynamite Kid, yes, he was revolutionary. He did things that no one ever saw before. He put his body on the line. He risked everything for pro wrestling. But I don't feel bad for him because you hear the stories. He was a fucking dickhead.
All right, not feeling bad for him, but you got to feel a little sympathetic. I mean, the guy's confined to a wheelchair.
You don't feel bad for Lex Luger? It is sad to see a guy who gave his life for the business that we love and is now confined to a wheelchair, living on a stipend, basically welfare in England, and living in housing and a guy who, like we said,
that's the bummer about
it. In 1986, the guy was on top of the world, WWF Tag Team Champion, you know, superstar,
with
you
no
know,
teeth.
Main eventing. You think yeah, the Rougeau brothers and the brass knuckles.
But
I know.
You don't think that's karma for like breaking Mick Foley's jaw or putting a shotgun to his wife's head?
If you believe,
well,
in
he
karma
didn't kill Elizabeth.
Like that,
I mean, let's be.
That was Lex Luger, and now look at him.
The difference is
he looks like a fucking raisin.
Yeah, but Lex Luger honestly became
a different person.
Lex Luger, from all accounts,
him
is a great guy now.
Yeah, because he found Jesus. Him and Shawn Michaels are pulling each other's pud to God.
Listen, I don't know Lex Luger. I'm just saying from what I've read is that Lex Luger is a totally different guy.
Yeah, I've heard that from quite a few people.
Than what he was.
I don't believe in Jesus or God. Sorry.
So I'm just saying, like, Tom Billington. Has never, as far as I know, said that he has never become a better person.
And you don't hear stories of Lex. Like, we always, like, make the joke about Elizabeth, like, but you don't hear, like, Lex Luger was, like, beating up the enhancement talent and he's fucking sticking a shotgun to Elizabeth. You don't hear that.
No.
Like, they were just mixed up in drugs and shit happened. Like, Tom Dynamite Kid took a shotgun to his wife, the woman he made a pledge to.
Hey, it wasn't loaded.
Doesn't matter, man.
I was kidding.
I'm not laughing at this situation. I'm laughing at Matt's passion about hating
no,
Dynamite Kid.
I didn't see that
kid.
Coming.
I don't like the Dynamite Kid.
Yeah, fuck him in the ass.
I respect him in the ring. I respect him in the ring just like I respect Chris Benoit in the ring. But the shit you do outside the ring is I can't even comprehend why you would do that.
Yeah, that's
any of it.
That's a who saw that coming kind of moment, the Benoit situation.
I don't know. As me and Tony here, we're both parents.
Yep.
I
don't think you need to be a parent to wrap.
No, you do, because in the end, you don't.
I could never do that. I don't need to be
a
parent to know that.
But when you're a parent, your life changes. And Tony's here, and he'll understand.
I have a cat. All right.
Okay.
I'm
but
a cat
when
dad.
you cat have dad. Your son, he's your seed. He comes from you, and to be, I don't think I
no.
I don't understand.
I had that moment in the hospital when I saw him for the first time. It's like, holy fuck, that is now my responsibility.
Listen,
that's mine.
Shoot, you want me to shoot?
That's my
when
burden
both,
for the rest of
my
life.
Kids, when my son and my daughter were born, I cried like a fucking bitch. And I am not ashamed to admit it.
And you shouldn't be.
When they were born, I'm like, my life has changed for the better. And I sat there and I cried like a bitch.
Oh,
and 100%. Ain't even going to lie about it.
Which,
especially 100%.
Which you should.
When my daughter was
front.
Born, I cried even more because my daughter was born with her umbilical cord around her neck and she wasn't breathing.
Oh, shit. Dude. So, same thing with my kid. No, they didn't know why he wasn't breathing. His heart rate dropped.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, my wife was dilated. Like, he was coming out. Like, he was ready to pop. Why is his heart stopped? Why is his heart rate dropped? Turn to the left. Turn to the right. Do this. Forget it.
Oh, RuPaul.
Cha-cha slide.
Work.
Fucking dickheads.
I was going to.
But, dude, it was that moment, dude.
He does that. It comes unglued. It hits Kevin.
That'd be so
fucking
fall. And it sticks in his head.
He knocks over
the
monitors
barbed
wire and everything.
Sticks in his head. And the monitors would be good for something.
That would be karma for me. I agree, yes.
You said you cried when your kids was born. I was going to ask which one mashed up that area down there. And you were so upset.
Ooh, Jesus.
Actually, both my kids were born through C-section.
Well, that's what happened, dude. Yeah. Like, they packed up my wife. They ran her to the OR. And they're like, here, throw these scrubs on and wait in the hallway. I went to fucking see my kid being
same
born.
Tony,
just sitting in the hallway going, what the fuck is
Tony
same
went,
thing to me.
Tony
yeah.
went to the hospital experiment gimmick. He was like, I got my own scrubs.
I said, I've been ready for this my whole
scary,
life.
Man. It was scary.
It's fucked up, dude. Thankfully, he's fine. I mean, you've seen him upstairs.
Yeah, our kids are fucking monsters.
Eating like a fucking horse.
I've had enough of this. I'm gonna
really. Well, we didn't finish our question, did we?
I'm gonna take one for the team.
Oh shit! All right, Matt's.
I can't. The serious conversation.
Matt's
gotta
being bamboozled.
Yeah.
I'll take one with you because I ain't got no fucking.
Oh shit!
What color you got? Wait, all right, I got
toasted marshmallow or stink bug.
Wait. Okay. I think.
Oh,
it's...
Oh no!
All right, I gotta find one. That's the pain in the ass.
Are
about
any
these.
Of them? Actually, the tasty one, Are they all
toasted marshmallow is good. You know what?
I don't know why are the bags out of the tin?
Here you go.
Like, shouldn't they be in the tin?
No, you got to take them out to eat them.
I get that, but like...
All right, Louie, you got birthday cake or dirty dishwater?
But how do you know which one is which?
You match the colors.
They both look the same.
Pictures are on top.
Got it? Kevin, you in?
Nope.
Wow.
Oh, Louie, I thought we were going to do
this
together.
No, I got a good one.
God damn it.
I got a good one. Berry Blue or toothpaste?
Oh, that's what the fuck?
That's your second toothpaste.
No, he doesn't need toothpaste here.
He got dirty dish soap.
Someone had toothpaste.
Oh, I got toothpaste. What'd you get? Did you get the dirty dishwater?
No, I got the other one, the good one.
All right, good.
Toasted delicious. Marshmallow or stink bug?
Come on, stink bug.
Come on, marshmallow.
Nope, that's a stink. Oh, my
God. Oh, come on. Here, you know what?
I'll take your chewed marshmallow.
No. You don't want that.
Oh, see
that?
Boy.
You want to see something hardcore? I'll take his chewed.
You want another one? I'll give you another one.
Oh, let's do God. It.
All right, I mean, you're not under... I guess I got to...
Yeah, oh, wait, probably, you had Juicy Pear Booger, right?
Probably Instagram.
Yeah, let me get it.
Yeah, I'm going to... Yeah, I should probably do this. God. Hold on.
Here.
All right.
This
all right,
is
we're doing...
Peach or barf.
We're doing
How
some...
How come there's no cum flavor? Come on.
Because then we'd all be winners, Louie.
This is
barf. Kev, you want spoiled milk or coconut?
This is barf.
Nothing.
Here, Matt.
No, I'm done, bro. That stink bug did it for me.
All right, I'm going to do coconut or spoiled milk.
Wait a minute. Why does barf taste like used fish?
Oh, then maybe you got dead fish. See, the colors are kind of the same. It's hard
Tony's
to tell.
Blind it tastes
like a dead
gosh,
fish.
I can't get the stink bug.
This is the worst. Right,
I got coconut or spoiled milk. Here we go.
This is a great gimmick for every guest we have in the studio, by the way.
Dead fish.
It's so bad.
Coconut.
God,
yes.
Damn it. How do you get two good ones in a row?
I don't know.
I'm going to be so sick.
It's just that the two... The toothpaste one is like the least worst one.
Oh, least worst one?
Well, you know why? Because if I would have brought something hot for Louie to eat, Louie eats hot stuff like we eat candy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not going to eat candy. Oh, God.
You did eat candy.
Yo,
jelly beans are candy.
It's tasting like rotten salted fish.
Ugh. Oh, boy.
You know who should have had a run as world champion? Who should have took the place of Piper instead? Okay. Should have been Orndorff. That cage match...
I was just about
that cage match.
Mine sticks alike.
And it would have
cage match at Saturday Night's Main Event.
And
the
it would
have
fit
match.
With Danny Davis being the referee, screwing somebody else out of the title.
100%. I agree with that.
And you have the run up to WrestleMania 3 with him winning the title against Orndorff.
You know what? You didn't even have to do that. You could have had like a show like before WrestleMania and put
it
back on
Hogan.
Oh my God!
I smell something from here.
To do the thing with Andre.
Yeah.
There was no.
That's
you
the
know
fish
what?
One.
Hogan.
Kevin's
could
done.
Have been champion many more times over if they would have booked him smarter and had him drop it to Piper. Big event.
Yeah.
Big event in Toronto, Canada.
People went nuts
Orndorff,
when they thought Orndorff
Heenan,
won.
The pile driver, the pin. Everybody thought Orndorff was a champ.
And when they put the belt on Orndorff,
yes,
he was,
yes.
Yeah, that was
great. You know what? People talk about the dusty finish. That's the original dusty finish, bro.
That
come
was,
on.
That was. I wish
come
they would have stuck
let's,
with
let's
that.
Let's not go there. I get angry when I talk about old school wrestling. What's wrong, Kevin?
Kevin's losing it over there. Kid. Between the dildo and the fish smells.
Oh, mama.
He's not doing good.
Oh, my God. I have fucking AIDS. I'm going to die.
I hit the dildo.
That's not the dildo. It's the fish
the
smell.
The fish smells
got.
Coming out of... It smells like
Jesus!
Rotten fish
it's
oil
fucking
coming
bad.
Out of my mouth.
Yo, Tony, your wife's going to kill you.
Correct.
You watched
Dang.
The... You watched
Dumb.
The regular the WWE with your kid, Louie?
My son is a big fan. He loves Dean Ambrose.
All right. So you've been watching then the last couple weeks.
Of course. Listen, as much as the product is bad, I'm predisposed to watch wrestling. I cannot live without watching wrestling.
No, look, I'm... What are you doing? Burping in your shirt?
No, it smells so fucking bad.
Yeah. No
I'm
shit.
Hitting the Four Loko hard, so nothing can faze me right now.
Oh, attaboy.
I gotta put it away.
Yeah, I'm really match right now. I'm match ready, bro.
Uh oh.
Camel
no!
shirt. I'm match ready, bro.
So rank.
All right. Well, you're not.
I
getting
can't wait
a match
to put this
tonight.
In Kevin's bag.
What? Let me ask you a question.
I'll search them all, bro.
At least he won't forget it this time, then.
That was a mishap.
I know. We don't want it to happen again.
I'm on vacation this.
When was the last time you can remember two consecutive Raws that were as bad as the last two? I mean,
not since the era of Mantar and Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Oh, don't besmirch Duke Drosy.
You know?
Yeah, but no one had expectations
back
then.
And I loved
Duke
the Dumpster, and I loved gimmicks like that, but not since then. Not because the talent was bad, the way they were booked. Like, guys like T.L. Hopper, he was Tony Anthony.
Yeah, Dirty White Boy.
Dirty White Boy. He was a big thing, but he was booked all wrong. You know, the Pug, Alex Porteau, was a big thing in the USWA. You know, Mantar. You know, all these guys had talent.
Bastion Booger
was Bill Irwin.
Yeah. Bastion Booger was Mockin' Singh, right?
Freddie Joe Floyd.
He was Mockin' Singh, and then he was Norman the Lunatic in WCW.
So, I just want to talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw. I thought it was another atrocious show. The only thing I enjoyed...
Nia Jax?
No.
I enjoy Nia Jax.
My
Sorry,
man.
Honey.
No.
Before
you
we
know,
get it...
I'll shoot, and... 100%. I am a fan of big, beautiful women, and I think Nia Jax is one.
That's what I'm talking
she's
about.
Really
I
not.
Think she's big and beautiful and beautiful. A woman.
A big
that's,
and a woman.
That's, the, that's what
no,
it stands
No, I'm excited because
that's what it
this
stands for.
Piece of shit to my left.
Really?
Yeah.
Tony, really? By the way, because we're not a visual medium.
Every time, at least once a week, I get a, this is the face you make when you see Nia Jax in a bathing suit on Total Divas. And it's like someone's eyes are melting and they're throwing up.
Come on, Tony, really?
You have, when you have a crush on Nia Jax, then you see her half topless on Total Divas and the guy's drinking? Come on, that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah,
I drink because
funny.
I like to drink, all
right? That's right.
But he's got, he wants, you know, he likes Dixie Carter's wonky eye.
I think Dixie Carter's hot, too. I did at the time. I haven't seen her in a while.
This is all. This is a this is new news, Kevin. You've never really admitted this on the show.
I 100% have.
Have you?
Yeah.
What? Do you hate Nia Jax?
No, that I like Dixie Carter.
What are you doing?
And I like Nia Jax.
You're like punched out. You're over there like answering emails like a grandfather. What are you doing?
I'm not answering emails. I'm looking for visual aids to.
What are you watching? The Devils too?
Yeah.
Devils aren't on tonight. They stink.
In your face.
3-0.
They stink.
Fucking Devils.
Well. And then I was trying to figure out how to post that video I just put up on Instagram, but it's sideways. So,
all right.
I mean, you guys okay with a sideways
I don't give
video?
A shit. People to watch it. I don't all care. Right. The Ziggles and the Mac. Oh God, that fucking
it smells,
the dead
right?
fish.
The stink bug is still in my
I just
mouth.
Burped fish.
Oh God.
Oh my God, I just breathed fish.
Ziggles and McIntyre was fun, and Dean Ambrose dressing like Bane was interesting.
Stupid.
No, he stole Crazy Evans' gimmick. Or Marcus Crane, whichever one you want to pick.
So that was Raw was the shits. The main event was awful. I hope Ronda Rousey fucking gets sent down the
dude. She
I
was,
like the, I like Ronda Rousey.
She walked with a purpose, bro. You didn't
she
hear?
Did. She did. Walk
her
with
she was dressed like Mantar. Okay.
She sucked again last night. Ember Moon was the shining light in that main event. That's your main event on Monday Night Raw.
Full Moon.
And they opened the show. It was supposed to be Natty. And they beat her up again,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they put her through a table, and then instead of saying she had a back injury, she had an arm injury.
Because they're stupid. They don't know what they're doing.
Rhino retired. He lost.
He didn't retire.
I had no idea that those two idiots were still on. I still had no idea that they were on the roster.
During the break, he announced to the house that he was retiring.
That's a shame.
Storyline, I think.
Oh, he was retiring from
what I read.
He'll be wrestling in the Indies in about 3 months once his 90-day compete.
Oh, he'll be on SmackDown in January. You watch.
Heath Slater's a referee. Why?
Slater Gator.
Fucking AOP and Kevin's favorite tag team.
Let me tell you something.
Oh,
that
God.
Fucking, that super power bomb where they high-five the guys, that's fucking retarded.
The, what do they call that? The imploder? Exploder?
The super collider.
Super collider.
That is awful. That finisher has to go. I liked it better when they were concussing people, dropping them on top of each other.
I like the super collider.
I don't
it's
mind
stupid.
The super collider.
Like, oh, let's high-five the guys before we power bomb them.
You know what's stupid? Lucha House Party in a 3-on-1 match against one of the Revival.
Lucha House Party's just stupid.
Lucha rules.
It's fucking dumb.
What?
Dumb,
yeah.
dumb.
What? It sucks.
It's dumb, dude. It's dumb.
I actually like the Bayley, Sasha, and Alexa Bliss exchange in the second segment.
Well, anything Alexa Bliss is involved in is fucking tense.
Who has
loves
been?
Her, I do not.
Why? She's a
listen,
great heel, dude.
As long as I see Bayley, because my daughter loves Bayley.
Bayley looks like a foot, dude.
Hey, listen. I don't care what she looks like. I'm not attracted to her.
She's got
my
she's
daughter,
got...
who's 8 years old and very impressionable at this time, thinks Bayley's like the biggest thing in the world.
Oh, she's perfect for kids, absolutely.
So if Bayley can somehow be the mantra, the inspiration for my daughter to follow in the wrestling footsteps, why the fuck not? I'm going to love her to death.
Well, that's fair enough, but why don't you like Alexa? She's a perfect heel, dude.
She's a great heel. She's a
great heel.
My son thinks she's hot. I do not.
Ooh.
What?
I do not.
Well, because she's not thick. That's why.
I am a, like, I'm a Nia Jax guy. Oh, if you're talking WWE,
he's not thick. That's
I'm
why.
But I'm a Nia Jax guy, and the story closed the book.
Tony.
Anybody else on the roster closed the book.
I'm going to hit Tony in the head with this microphone.
No, you're not.
I am.
Alexa Bliss has been cleared to wrestle, by the way.
See, she's coming back.
No one watches her.
Good.
You're joking. Nobody watches her.
No one wants to see her wrestle.
Yeah, they want to watch Nia injure somebody else, another up-and-comer.
I hope her lady parts fall out of her outfit.
Who, Nia?
My badge! My badge!
Yeah, all right. Now, all right. First, I play it too much, and now Kevin's screaming for me to
hit
the button.
Well, no, because you got to hit it right where they itch.
In your face.
There you go.
There you go.
That's it.
So that was Raw in a nutshell.
Oh, thank God. It was the first time we covered Raw in less than 4 minutes.
Yeah, well,
That's all it deserves.
I didn't think it was all that great.
Wait, you don't like Elias smashing Leo Rush?
I like Elias.
I like Elias, too, but it's just, it's all like...
Lashley. You don't like Apollo Crews coming out and saving Finn?
It's all... That's the best way to describe it.
You don't like the chakra?
That's the new pay-per-view. All eh.
Eh.
That's Cody Rhodes and the Bucks' new gimmick.
Nope, all it's Alexa Bliss' pay-per-view. All in.
Couple this and that before we... I want to get to this...
blah, blah, blah.
This thing, I want Louis to just... We'll get into this in a minute. Ring of Honor signed PCO.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome.
Amazing.
And Brody King.
Another big signing.
Which is huge. Pac won the Dragon Gate, opened the Dream Gate title last night, or early this morning. So that's fucking cool.
Good for Pac.
And that's really all the little news and notes I kind of wrote down. This was more of a Louis show.
It's sad because I wanted to see PCO versus Masato Tanaka at GCW on
that would have been awesome.
29th. And that's not going to happen now, so I'm pretty bummed at that. But see what happens. GCW's always good about bringing a...
replacement.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, they do a good job.
I mean, I watched some wrestling this week, if you don't mind.
No, what do you got, man?
I watched NXT, Lars Sullivan versus Keith Lee, which was absolutely fucking amazing.
It's like two garbage trucks colliding.
Two big boys just doing their thing. And I guess if Lars is going to be called to the main roster soon, which I think is what we've all been seeing.
Keep showing the vignettes every week.
But
keep showing all his... behind-the-scenes stuff that he did, they're going to fucking ban him because they took...
Yeah, he said some shit.
Yeah.
What did he do?
He was, like, on some message board.
But that was a few years ago he was doing that.
And he made some racist comments and unsensitive comments and stuff like that, so...
Oh, I had no idea.
I think Stephanie McMahon was one of the targets, too, wasn't she?
I don't know
It was rough.
I know he made some racist comments.
I did not know that.
I'm going to find this right now. So talk...
But, no. I'll keep talking because I also watched... 205 Live, which I think is one of the best shows out there other than NXT. But the one weird thing I picked up on 205 Live, I don't know if you guys watch, everyone, it seems like it's a show full of like alliances and tag teams now. Like you have Buddy Murphy and Tony Nese as an alliance. You have Drew Gulak and Jack Gallagher as an alliance. You have the Lucha House Party as an alliance. You have now, which appears to be Hideo Itami and Aria Davari, who just came back, now seem to be teaming up. And it's just weird. Like there's no one-on-one singular program right now. Everyone seems to be involved with somebody against somebody. And I guess it's just maybe to... Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali against the other guys. So it's like everything's a tandem, which is very weird to me. I don't think I've ever seen that before. And it's just like maybe it's just a way to get more people on TV at the same time.
What they're doing with the women's division. Everybody's friends. Everybody's a team. Everybody's a society.
It's bizarre. I can't believe that hasn't been commented on more. And then if you go to the main roster, you're right. The Baron Corbin, the Bobby Lashley, the Drew McIntyre thing.
Ugh.
Like, it's just very bizarre that a show as good as 205 Live, it's just something that I picked up on. Oh, Mike Kanellis and TJP. Like, it's just weird. There's no one-on-one feuds in any of the programs on 205 Live, which I'm not nitpicking. I think it's just the way to get more people on the show in an hour. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts, or Louis, I don't know, in your experience in the business, if you've noticed that that's a trend sometimes, where you just
I
try
actually,
to...
actually, sadly, have not, due to my hectic schedule, I have not kept up with 205 Live, but I definitely want to start, because there's a lot of talent on there that we don't get to see in the main roster on SmackDown on Raw, so... But right now, I can't even comment on it because I haven't seen it.
Right. I know. It's just maybe that should have been my going home, but I have another thing for going home. But I just thought it was weird. And if you're listening to this, tweet at me what you think at Wizards Podcast, at Kevin Garifo, about it's just something that I'd never really seen before. Everything on the show is an alliance. It's a team or an alliance against somebody else.
Some of these are really wacky. Louis, we talked about it before we went on the air. You ever see the Urban Legends of Professional Wrestling Strange But True list of like 500 stories that are like urban legends possibly
true? I have seen
true?
Some of those, yes.
Do you, first of all, do you have any stories that you might be willing to share with us, even if you have to change names that make
no,
it the
only,
most?
The only no. The craziest wrestling story I ever had was I chased Terry Funk around with a dildo in a shower while Funk was naked. At the
oh,
Williams
get away
gym.
From me.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Louis, you're fucking crazy.
And he was nothing but great and phenomenal about it. And I actually have the video somewhere of it. And Terry was just a phenomenal human being and a great guy to be around.
Usually it's Terry chasing other people. It's yeah, nice to hear that you got it back on him.
It was crazy, man.
Oh, you're crazy, Louis.
That's exactly what he said.
You know, this
like,
fella chased
asshole,
me with a fake dick.
And I chased him into the shower with it, and he laughed and gave me a hug. And, you know, as a kid growing up in a rough neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, you never get to realize that you're going to, oh, shit, I'm going to wrestle Terry Funk, and I'm going to hang out with him. And, you know, it's crazy.
This is crazy stuff here. I'm reading this all over again. I can't read it again.
So, Louis, since you're there's 1 to 459. I want you to pick a number, and I'm going to read whatever story corresponds with this number.
All right. 172.
All right. I got it.
Ready and immediate.
Because these are crazy, and I
number
just turned to that exact page.
72.
Harvey Whippleman was booked at some local indie in Evansville while he was working for WWF back in like 1990-ish to ref a match. He came out at the beginning of the show to start the night's angle that set up his refing of the match between the promoter and the champ. When they went backstage, Harvey demanded double the pay for the night since he had to work twice, and the only reason all these people here is because my name is on the card. The promoter said fuck it and gave it to him just to keep him happy. A week later, the promoter got a cease and desist order from the WWF because Harvey told Vince that one of the wrestlers at the show used WWF music.
I could see that happening 110%, man.
That's such a shitty thing.
I could see that happening 100%.
Do you have whether or not that's true or not there?
No, this is all from Strange But True Urban Legends of Professional Wrestling.
I believe that 100%.
As heard by the members of the Death Valley Driver Board compiled
you know, the
by
sad
Supreme.
Part, and I'm not going to mention names because I'm not going to bury people, but I've seen old school talents sit there and say, I'm not working this guy, I'm not working that guy, I'll only wrestle him. I need to get paid this much to wrestle him and blah, blah, blah. So I've seen it. So I'd be hard-pressed not to believe it.
There's some pretty...
Let me pick a number.
Yeah, please.
239.
All right. It was well circulated in the sheets back then that when Dutch Mantel was doing the Uncle Zebekiah gimmick at the motel one night, he and Eli Blue got really fucked up on no doze and wood alcohol, and they shaved off a bunch of Dutch's back hair, glued it to his crotch, and Eli ate him out.
I would have just
what
because,
the fuck?
Listen, I would have done it just because he was Dirty Dutch Mantel who wrestled in World Wrestling Council.
Goodness gracious.
Fuck.
Tony, you want to pick a number?
Yeah, but I've got a couple news and notes that I would want to get into, but let me see. I'll find one. I'll pick
you're
one.
You're going to look through?
No, I'm just going to pick one. I'll read it.
All right.
I'm going to go with 333.
333.
Yeah, just for the hell
that's
of it.
That's a lotto number.
The number of the beast.
Let's I thought that see. Was 666.
It is.
It's for midgets.
Ah!
Oh, here's a good one. ECW versus XPW. XPW wrestlers showed up at an ECW event for publicity. The ECW guys, understandably, didn't like it. There may have been something involving Francine and a valet from XPW. Anyway, some ECW and XPW wrestlers started fighting, and the ECW guys got some help from security. The fight ended up going into the streets. Winner, Heyman, because XPW will never be close to what ECW was. But we all know that was true.
That was 100%
that happened on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So, whether or not there was actually a fight, I don't know.
No, there was. And it was completely overrun by the ECW guys. Okay. They cleared out the locker room. And the funny thing was, like, Francine and Justin Credible were just kind of stuck in the ring waiting for the whole thing to die down. Because somebody started grabbing at Francine, and she lost her shit.
I remember it.
That was...
Can I pick one for you to read to me?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to go 47.
Four in a row?
Get back here.
Ugh. Ricky Marvin is rumored to be Negro Kiss's bottom. I don't know who those are. But
well, that's
I know
a funny,
both of them.
That's a funny story.
Listen, I've heard a lot of stories about Negro Casas in the AAA and the CML.
So is Ricky Marvin his bottom?
Well, Ricky Marvin is in a tryout at Chile right now for WWE.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
That doesn't
He's
answer.
He's been around forever.
I know.
Doesn't answer the question.
Do you hear that? How about this one? This is 46. Lita has been pissed on by Steve Corino and Danny Doring. Should ask him about it when we had him here.
Well, there's one way in the back of that. It says everybody fucking hates Steve Corino.
Well, that's not true. I like Steve Corino.
Well, like it says on the there's a disclaimer. Probably 10% of these are true and 90% are
some
false.
Some of the stiffest matches you will ever see. Homicide versus Corino? Steve Corino. About 2003,
Ring of Honor,
5, Ring of Honor.
Yeah, they beat
them. Oh my fucking god!
There's no way they liked each other.
That's the crazy thing.
They respected each other, but there's no way they liked each other, and it showed, and it made for some awesome matches and a great feud.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It did.
What do you got? You said you had some notes over there.
We never talked about because I think it happened after the anniversary show. Have you heard of a wrestler called Aria Blake? Well, apparently last week she put a tweet out, and quote, there's a promoter in North Carolina who offered Hunter, I'm not sure who that is, $40 to drive 11 plus hours and wrestle. Hunter declines because, duh, the guy comes back and says, if I make it 45, is that okay? In what world does that cover gas or any medical treatment if anything bad happened? So a lot of people took her to task because she's basically saying nobody should pay their dues. Sammy Callahan's the first one back. It's called paying dues. Maybe this generation should learn it. Maybe before you've drove 12 plus hours with zero guarantees. It's called getting your name out there. Same as a band trying to make it. Everyone's so entitled without wanting to do the work. Seth Rollins chimed in. True story. Would do it again in a heartbeat. And it quotes a story from Marek Brave. WWE Rollins and I would ride 6 to 8 hours just for an opportunity to set up rings for IWA Mid-South, knowing that eventually our hard work would pay off in the form of bookings. Even after getting on, we'd be lucky to make $20 a piece. And it just went on and on. David Starr, Joey Janela, Ace Austin, Sammy Halley, and Velvet Sky again. Like, just nonstop. Like, hey, you got to pay your dues. Like you talked about earlier with your son.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Homicide made me pay a lot of dues. We built a ring together. We brought a ring 3 floors down, broke it down, brought it to a show.
And he did it with you.
Yes.
And Homicide was already a name at that point.
He was starting to become a name, yes.
But he was breaking you in, and he was still there doing it.
Yeah, he was 100% doing it, and we did it in a... It was the first show that I ever did at the Elks Lodge. It was the... They did it for the JYD Memorial. It was Johnny Valiant was there, George Steele, King Kong Bundy.
They'll drive into a wall?
Huh? Sucks. I know that this is going back 20-something years. All I know is that Homicide and me and Mace Mendoza from Christopher Street, Monster Mac, we all would help out with the ring and just because we wanted to. We were so hungry to get in that we would do anything, and it paid off for a lot of guys. Look at Monster Mac, 20-something year career. He's wrestled with every meaningful tag team in the last 20 years. Monster Mac has been in the ring with. Come on,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's that's just the way it is. I don't really post on Facebook often, but everyone's like fucking entitled. Everyone's like this fucking PC pussy culture. Like,
yeah, you really got fired up today. I don't know what the context was, but
I'm tired of people posting about fucking Rudolph and Baby It's Cold Outside.
What about Charlie Brown?
People have a problem with Charlie Brown? Get over it.
They put the black kid on the side of the table by himself.
Gives a shit.
I've been watching the same. I'm older.
Dude,
than,
I never I, thought I don't know, about that.
Tony, how old are you? Shoot.
44.
All right, so you're a year and a half older than me because I'll be 42 in a week.
Happy birthday, Louis.
Thank you. But with the exception of you, I'm older than the two gentlemen here next to us and everybody else that probably listens to this.
That's right.
And I've been watching the same goddamn Christmas specials since I was a fucking child. And nobody complained till now.
Yep.
You know why? Go fuck yourself.
Thank you.
I'm
Leave
with
it
you.
The fuck
you.
Alone.
I'm with
Truth.
You.
You know what? The day that Rudolph gets banned, I said it before.
I think
that between my wife and I, we have the largest Rudolph collection on the planet besides the guy that owns the fucking Rudolph trademark.
Probably.
It'd be so cool if you own the actual animatronic things that they use to make the episode, like the little figures.
Oh, the clay motherfuckers? That. I'd love to.
I just don't understand who has fucking time for that shit.
People with nothing better to do that want to make you feel bad for being a white man. That's why.
It has nothing to do with you're an asshole. Just go do me a favor. It's next to the computer on the ground, Kevin. Those people can just go walk in front of a fucking bus, please.
Agreed.
Do me a fucking favor. I'm tired. I'm
right
so...
Right here, the 76R.
Please, I'm so fucking tired of...
You want to play Going Home?
Oh, we got presents. We got to open our presents from Louie.
Let's open our presents.
Let me put on some Christmas music.
Doesn't always work, Tony.
I had to put the mic down.
Something in the yard. Shut up and put the mic down and find some Christmas music. All these goddamn jelly beans are making me fucking sick.
These jelly beans fucking
you guys are gonna,
suck.
I can't wait to hear about your poops tomorrow.
I washed them down with Four Loko. I'm good.
Dude, if my shit smells like fish, I'll be fucking laughing while I'm puking. I would be laughing so hard.
I can't.
It's Christmas music.
Greatest song ever.
There we go.
All right.
No Dasher.
Who's going first?
I'll go. Tony's going first.
No way.
Comet.
Oh, this is awesome.
Oh. Bro, I love you. You're the
best.
I'm going
to fucking smash that with a hammer.
No, you're not.
I just wish he was still around. I would get this signed, too. This is so cool.
That's a really cool gift.
I'll sign it for you.
Say what it is, jerk.
It's the Bruno Sammartino Series 7 from the Legends of Professional Figures from Figures Toy Company with chest hair, forearm hair, and inner thigh hair. That's awesome.
That's a really cool looking figure, dude.
That is cool.
I'll sign it for you.
Yeah,
I'll throw some dirt on it.
Kill yourself. What do you got?
I'm the worst gift wrapper in history.
I put it in gift bags. I don't even wrap anymore.
Fucking WCW Bret Hart Slam Force.
Oh! That's a great figure, too.
That's awesome, Louie.
That is cool.
That's a cool
hell.
Figure.
And it comes with comic goddess. So cool.
Oh, I have my wife is going
to
love this.
All right.
Thank you, Louie. You didn't have to do this, man.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Owen Hart Bendham Mint on Card. Are you kidding me, bro? Low Life Louie, I'm only one that's close enough to give you a high five and shake my hand. Just Toys.
You should have put the dildo off when he put his hand
on. No, don't take that off the card. It's worth a lot.
No, I'm not going to let this one breathe. This is staying on the card.
Louie, you're crazy, bro. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
You didn't have to do this, man. This is amazing.
All good.
This is awesome.
Oh, my God. This is ridiculous.
He's got a crossbow.
Of course he does. He's concussed. He can't wrestle anymore.
I wish we'd known. We would have brought you. I mean, we gave you a gift, so.
Yeah, we got him.
Those are gift enough, brother.
We got you. We would have given you a better gift.
I think the Dilly Award is awesome.
All right, I'm with you on that.
All right, you want to play Going Home?
Let's play some Going Home.
Kevin, we're going home.
Going home today. Ladies and gentlemen, WWE taped another edition of Tribute to the Troops, which will air on December 20th. I love the Tribute to the Troops. You combine that with what they did last night with their tribute to former President number 41, George H.W. Bush.
They still tend to do great things as much as we like to shit on them. I do miss the aspect of the overseas, the Iraq, the Afghanistan, those shows, but it doesn't take away from them doing what's great for the troops in Fort Hood today. So shout out to WWE. As much as Raw sucks, this is still cool.
Awesome. Matt, we're going home.
We're going home. Today marks 9 years since we lost Umaga of the Fatu family.
3 minute warning.
Umaga, Jamal. Go back.
Any Fatu, baby. Any Fatu.
Anoy. Yeah.
Go back on the WWE Network and just watch his 3 minute warning stuff. His Umaga stuff is awesome.
Watch his match with Lashley with President Trump.
Yeah, at WrestleMania, right?
That's
just
it.
Just appreciate the talent he was and how it was gone too soon. And yeah, that was a dark one. I'm sorry.
All right, I've got.
No, it's one.
You only get one, man.
One.
You don't want to hear about the Young Bucks signing with LJN?
You got to pick one, dickhead.
You don't want to hear about the Kenny Omega documentary?
Why don't we?
All right, fine. You know what? The XFL announced their 8 cities, and the XFL is coming back to New York, baby.
New York, baby.
They're
going to
be
York.
Playing at MetLife Stadium.
The Hitmen are back.
Los Angeles is coming back, and they got 6 new cities. They're going to Dallas. They're going to Houston. They're going to St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa, and Washington, D.C., and that's my going home.
You...
No, nothing. Don't think it's important to talk about Kenny Omega?
I love you all. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
But we could have done. We could have brought that up.
Yes.
Yeah, during the show, except we're out of time. We have like a minute left. That's so I want to make sure we thank Low Life Louis Ramos for coming in, accepting his 2016 Dilly Award. Who, me?
Yes.
Because I'm aggravated.
Why?
Because I
see I was very clear in the text that said one.
All right, I didn't. Did I only say one?
You spouted out.
Did
a bunch
I only
of
say one, Louis?
I love you all. Thank you very much.
LJN figures suck.
What?
I don't like the LJN figures, the old ones.
I don't care. The Young Bucks are getting them. Their own figures.
I'll bite. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I might never
of course
take them
you
out.
Will. But that I think that's cool.
I think it's awesome.
And where the Young Bucks are, maybe we get a Kenny Omega. Maybe we get a Golden Lovers. Maybe we get something like that.
Can you tell me who's
I'm the golden shower lover.
Isn't it Ibushi? Kota
yes,
Ibushi?
It is. Okay.
Okay. Oh, speaking of which, so this is how we found out about the Kenny Omega documentary real quick. There's a Toronto musician named Joseph Shabason, and he scored the documentary. And one of his quotes about the documentary, and you're going to love this, Louis. This is great stuff. If I could get around Kevin's picture. I just finished a documentary about a wrestler that's going to be coming out on HBO in the new year, which is going to be really exciting. It's a wrestler named Kenny Omega. He's from Winnipeg, but went to Japan and formed a tag team called the Golden Lovers, which was sort of like the first ever queer storyline in wrestling.
Not true.
He's a pretty incredible dude. I was happy with scoring that. So there you go. A musician in Toronto says he scored the queer movie about...
100% not true.
Well, there you go.
The Christopher Street Connection did it first, did it best.
Louis, what do you want to hear as we wrap this show up?
How about Number One by Nelly, my entrance music?
All right. Oh, I love
there
it.
There you go, brother. Louis, thanks again for coming out. This was a blast,
man.
As always.
Thank you, guys. You guys have always given me a platform to speak my mind. I thank you all. I love you all.
We'll be back.
Kevin,
next
any
week,
plugs?
Tomorrow night, Brown Bear Pub, West Orange, New Jersey, home of the best wings in Essex County. Comedy. It's free. Come by. 8:30. Boom.
New Dumbfellas this week? Tell me what the wings are next time early so I can
You got
come.
It.
New Dumbfellas this week?
Yes, New Dumbfellas podcast.
Anything else, Matt?
Next week, LSG from Ring of Honor.
There you go.
Will be joining us in studio for the Shining Wizard Wrestling podcast.
If you're listening live on The Rant, stay tuned. The Rant is up next. I always think it's a paradox, like the room is going to explode when I say that. The Rant on The Rant is The Rant?
The Rant on Rant, yeah.
I don't know, but don't do the Bean Boozler, people.
Please get it for Christmas.
That's
terrible. And break it out bring it out for Hanukkah. Do a bean
that's
a day.
A good idea. Maybe I'll bring that to my family Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, love you all.
Good night,
everybody.
Woo!
Happy Hanukkah.
That's it too.